You are currently the only person in this conference.
Well, good morning, everybody. Eve, are you there? Just saying hi. Didn't really say anything. Anyway.
Hi. I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, hello. It looks like some people are still arriving an hour later, I guess, than yesterday with a change in daylight time. And had a few random thoughts that I thought we'd look at before we begin. And it's really cool that, you know, there's a few people who haven't signed up yet this morning, but one of the cool things about this particular Maestro service is that people will be able to listen to anything that they miss. So if anybody misses any portion of any call, we're going to have the calls posted, and you'll be able to listen to them at your own time. If your schedule changed and you weren't able to make any part of it, though, you'll have access to the whole information, even if you missed any of it. Remember one of the calls yesterday, I was being asked about, oh, let's get the music off. I can do that. That's the end of the music. Oh, didn't it sound nice for me? I was thinking behind music. That's lovely. One of the thoughts was, well, can changing your emotional state actually change something solid like an arthritis or this or that? Well, consider for a minute that people with multiple personality disorder are known to have really huge physiological changes just between personalities that will come and go. For instance, one personality might have diabetes, the other personality doesn't. One personality has a scar and another personality does not. One personality has blue eyes and the other does not. Now, such radical changes would be quite impressive if we were able to do them in any healing session. And yet, this is considered part of the medical literature of how deep personality and internal belief structure goes. So just think what's possible. If this is what a mentally disturbed person can do, what do you think we might be able to do if we can be that honest and transformatively forgiving within ourselves and each other? There's a couple random thoughts that I was having also, and I just wanted to cover. And then as we're letting the last few people arrive, and we'll bring it out to the whole discussion. We have a cat in the background that seems to be a little vocal this morning. Maybe you can hear him back there. One thought is that depression is not just caused by repressed anger in most cases, but sometimes a sudden unexpected shift of expectation can cause depression, where you really expected something and it didn't show up that way. Another thing is, even winning the lottery can cause depression because expectations shifted so quickly. So it looks like I might begin with questions, and I've got one already from Lynn. And so, Lynn, you're on.
Okay, Richard, this is going back, pardon me, to the multiple personalities.
Yeah.
Is there a way to find these references?
Scientific
references?
Absolutely. Yeah,
because I have a lot of skeptical friends. I would like to be able to show them this.
Oh, yeah. That's how I found it. I looked it up online, and there are medical references to diabetes, changing eye color, scars, and so forth. And you can look that up. No problem at all.
All right. Thanks.
You bet. Sure. Amy, you have a call. You're on.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, I didn't mean to push a button. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you did. And so I'll take you off.
Did we just start a few minutes ago?
We just started about 3 minutes ago, and
okay,
everything's
right,
going to be recorded in case anybody misses anything.
Okay,
sure. And Karina, you are on now. Karina? Yeah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, please speak up a little bit.
My question is, does it actually matter what the emotion is as long as you experience it fully? I know we talked about anger and guilt being an expression of that, but what about things like shame or inferiority? Does it matter what it is as long as it's experienced?
No, it doesn't matter what the emotion is as long as it's experienced, because as long as the emotion is fully experienced, you don't hold it in your body. But shame is a topic I want to cover, and I have one more call, and then I'll cover shame, because that's a really important topic to discuss as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you.
Yes. All right. Randy. Whoops, I got the wrong. There we are. You're on.
Hi, Richard. Good morning, and thanks to Jennifer for returning my email late last night.
Jennifer, you're being thanked for returning email late last night. Okay.
Anyway, I'm assuming at this point we're not getting into our experiences last night yet. That'll happen a little later, correct?
In a few minutes.
Okay.
But you can talk about it if you like.
Well, I'll wait. That's fine. I'll phone back. I was going to comment about the multiple personalities. And I mentioned this doctor yesterday. I'll be real brief. Dr. David R. Hawkins is an American medical doctor, psychiatrist, who actually created, amongst other things, muscle testing. And he has been able to, over the course of many decades, quantify different states of consciousness. And in his book, Healing and Recovery, he makes reference on a number of occasions to multiple personalities on how no ifs, ands, or buts, what we hold in mind determines what we have in body.
Exactly.
So we can pretty well change anything we want.
Yeah, it's actually more remarkable than we ever believed. And Bruce Lipton is showing tremendous changes people can go through as well by changing beliefs. So, yes, it's wide open to possibility. I want to. Is that good, Randy?
That's terrific. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to talk about shame a little bit, and then we'll talk about our experiences from last night and move to where we need to go today. Shame is a really interesting emotional set because it is feeling subhuman, and no baby ever feels ashamed of their nakedness. You got to be trained by someone else who feels ashamed. So interesting to me, the Adam and Eve story, how it's just naturally assumed. Everybody knows you're supposed to feel ashamed if you understood, but you only understand if somebody else who previously feels shame makes you feel ashamed. So shame is dumped on other people. It is not something you have within yourself. It was given to you as a negative gift from someone else who dumped their shame onto you. And therefore, because it's not your genuine emotion, it cannot be processed as a regular or real emotion. What you can do is get really angry at whoever gave you the shame, and like a big bag of crap, you give it back to them, and you get really angry and say, look, this does not belong to me. This is yours, and I'm giving it back to you, and let them have it, because you cannot actually process the shame as a direct emotion, since it was not yours to begin with. But unfortunately, the way society has been working is the shame gets passed on from generation to generation to generation, and becomes part of a family tradition, unfortunately, but that's just how it ends. So I think it is time. I think we probably have everybody here now. So why don't we open it up to, let me just see a show of hands. Press 1 if you were able to go all the way through to the other side on the process. Let's see what happens there. Who was able to go all the way through the other side? Okay. Press 2 if you got stopped around the forgiveness area. Okay. Press 3 if you got stopped around remorse. Okay. And press 4 if you were getting trapped around insight. And press 5 if it was release. Press 6 if it was discovery. I did the numbers all backwards, so that's okay. All right. Well, folks, the largest category, okay, we have 2%. The largest category of people are the ones who took it through all the way. And the second largest category are the ones who were getting locked on forgiveness or remorse, and the smallest percent on discovery and release. So I'd say that's a huge congratulations to you as a group. So let me see. I'm going to put all the hands down for a moment, hear their hands down, and ask those who took it through all the way, if you'd like to talk about your experience, please raise your hand. Just hit it number one, if you'd like to share something about what happened and how you feel, what's going on with you, tell your story a little bit. Okay, that helps. So, let's start with you. Randy, why don't you tell us a little what happened with you?
Okay, thanks. I'm back again so soon.
Yes, you are.
Yes. I barely slept last night, which was okay, as I was doing a lot of processing. I took a bit of a break after the session ended and had some supper, and then after that, the wheels started spinning a lot. I actually did some free-form writing and have written a few things down, which I think I'm going to read from because it just kind of flowed. While reading this material and practicing, I meditated on my chronic back pain, which was not the issue that I had originally identified, or the condition that I originally identified yesterday, which resulted in me feeling unsupported and supporting of others. And while I have numerous loving and healthy friendships, I connected the back pain back to my adolescence, when I was the intermediary between warring factions in my family. I also became a professional social worker in my mid-20s, which did not meet my parents' expectations. My mom wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer, and my dad wanted me to be an accountant. So it did not meet their expectations or their desires. They did not support my career decision, and it was very difficult and painful for me to reject their plans for me. I have worked and healed a lot of this hurt, utilizing various psychological, energetic, and spiritual methodologies. However, I had not included the remorse in my personal healing or with my work with many clients. I had felt a lot of guilt and shame, but never felt I was unforgivable. I have practiced surrendering to my guilt and shame and other painful emotions, and practiced a lot of forgiveness to self and others, and I have gotten healthier. However, last night I relived the phone conversation with my dad after I had moved to Canada from Los Angeles to get away from my parents' neediness to control me and my life's direction. I was full of fear during this conversation with my father, which was approximately 40 years ago, as I anxiously told him I was dropping my accounting courses at university and focusing more on the social side of economics. I was too afraid at this time to totally quit economics and business for fear of deeper rejection from my dad. He wanted me to be the accountant he wanted to be, but World War II got in his way. He reluctantly agreed with my decision to focus on social economics, and in parentheses, he really didn't know what this meant, as long as I didn't choose a career going to people's homes and helping them with their problems, and I have in parentheses, social worker. I told him honestly at this point in time that I had no plans doing that. I had no clue then what a social worker even did. Within a few years and with some totally unexpected opportunities, I got a job as a youth and family counselor and became a registered social worker within a couple of years. I felt a lot of unconscious guilt about this choice. I broke a promise I made to my dad and was also angry for his attempt to control and then reject me. I have worked on releasing these painful emotions, which included hypnotherapy, both with a professional and self-induced, meditation, energetic and spiritual healing, practicing forgiveness, compassion, etc., but never included the remorse. I now believe it is the missing link in the chain of most healing modalities, and I'm so grateful that you shared this with me. I also spent some time looking up at various sites on the internet and in dictionaries, different definitions of remorse, and I'll just share a couple of them because it was really kind of an intangible concept to me. I really couldn't resonate with it. Here, I'll just share a couple of these and then one last comment. Remorse is a gnawing distress of guilt caused by a belief that I have committed past wrongs. At the deepest level, it is a belief that I am unforgivable and not deserving of forgiveness and am unlovable. Another definition is remorse is an emotional expression of personal regret felt by a person after he or she has committed an act which that person deems to be shameful, hurtful, or violent. It is also allied to guilt and self-directed resentment. I took it a step further. In my career, I've worked with a lot of addicts, people who have attended and received various degrees of benefit from attending 12-step recovery groups and working the steps. And although I've never been a member of a 12-step program, with clients I have attended meetings and have helped them work through the steps. And I related this concept of remorse to the 12 steps. And it is that basically expressed mostly in step 8, which said the step is that it made a list of all persons who we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. However, nowhere does it identify that I have harmed myself and I am making amends to myself. And I think that's, again, the real extra step, the real benefit of the self-created health that goes that additional step that really opens up the floodgates to healing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I tend to agree more with the second definition about the regret rather than all the guilt, because to care deeply about your impact on others allows you to transform. But if you're not really caring, like I've known a couple people who I would consider socially adept sociopaths who get along very well, but they just don't care about their emotional impact. They have no regret, remorse, no empathy, and no need to feel like they have to keep promises or be honest. And that's a major distinction. And the other thing about remorse, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, is that it's sort of what I was saying yesterday. If you don't pull the bow back but an inch or two, the arrow's not going to go very far. You're not going to have a profound experience of forgiveness if you can't bring the forgiveness bow, which is the remorse, back really deeply. If you're not feeling really regretful that you've done this thing, you don't have a deep sense of, I really feel bad that I hurt this person, then what are you forgiving? And if you don't feel bad that you hurt yourself, what is self-forgiveness? It becomes a hollow shell. It becomes an affirmation, words that people repeat, rather than something really profound and meaningful. So what I didn't really quite get in your story is how you were changed or how you were affected by your process that you did.
Okay, well, I'll just start off by saying I woke up this morning with virtually no back pain, which was nice.
Yeah.
I just feel a real deep calm, a really deep sense of peace with myself, a shift in perception with people who I previously felt harmed by. I'm feeling more compassion for them than I've ever felt before, and I'm certainly in a much deeper loving space of acceptance and how else can I put this? Again, compassion for them.
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, these are all absolutely desired states and goals that we can move into, and congratulations on your good work. I'm very proud of this class, by the way, this workshop, because this is about the highest percent of people that were able to take it to the other side just from having gotten the information on the very first day. And so that's really good, because that means there's a lot of courage and willingness amongst everybody to do the work. Well, anything else?
No, I think that I shared what I wanted to, and thanks
Thank
for
you.
Responding and following up.
You bet. Okay, great. Yeah, we've got a hand raised from Gabrielle, and I've got you on now, so what's up?
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, I had some experience too. Yesterday, like with a discovery, we couldn't quite get to a conclusion, so I did it yesterday evening again, and suddenly I knew what it was.
Yeah.
I have that shoulder pain and back pain and teeth pain and everything, and a couple of months my kids moved out, and we always thought could be the empty nest syndrome, but always had the feeling it's not right. So suddenly I knew it was the grief about it, that I never got that support that my kids got, that I never got that love what my kids got, and that love is pain. And then suddenly I had some experience I had earlier in life and childhood in my mind, and then I started with this release the sadness and the hurt about that, and I was crying all these 20 minutes, and and then I dropped it and watched a nice movie, and after that I felt much lighter than before. And then I worked on the inside and the remorse, and then doing the forgiveness. I guess I did it about 20 minutes or so. And at the end, I really was crying again, but it was more tears of joy than of grief. And after that, I had freedom in me, and the pain of my shoulder and back is much less than before. I know I have to do some more work, but the pain is much less than before.
Boy, that is so confirming. You know, I just love this part. You know, when people actually go through the work and do it sincerely like you did, it's just so inspiring to hear your story. And congratulations. Excellent work. But you know what I love about this most, I think, is that you realize that the shoulder pain was just there to keep reminding you to get back to the love again.
Yeah, and I know I have to do some more work on that, some experience from the childhood, but yeah, it was the first step.
But isn't it confirming that it's like our higher consciousness says, yes, work on this, and okay, the pain isn't completely gone, but I'll give you enough information to let you know you're completely on the right track. Because first you had pain of sadness, and then doing the forgiveness, you had pain, you had tears of joy. And then your symptoms shift in accordance, but they're not all gone because you know you got more work to do, but now you are empowered.
Mm. Yeah, and I have to believe after that quantum touch will work again, because quantum touch even didn't work for me. So.
Yeah, well, you know, quantum touch is awesome, but it only works 90-odd percent of the time. And when it hits a wall, there's emotional process to do. Maybe other things as well, but there's emotional work that needs to be done. And sometimes it's as if our higher self is saying, hey, it's not enough to take away your symptoms anymore. You've actually got to deal with these issues.
Yeah, it's just wonderful.
Well, congratulations. I'm very happy for you. Okay, so I'll say goodbye and move on to one other person right now. Let's see. Oh, we got a couple others. So, Adhikari, you had your hand up for a little while. You're on now.
Okay, can you hear me?
I do.
Great. I had a couple questions. I wanted to share what happened. I had a couple questions, but maybe you just answered them, but I'll ask them along the way. So it was really powerful when you did the work with Kim yesterday, because I got clear that my issue of coldness, my legs were like ice, and it's like frozen with fear. And so I worked on, it's really clear, this fear of saying no to my father when I was a child and meeting his disapproval. So I did the, I couldn't be myself. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. It's always to please him. So I went through intense, I did all those ages of anger, which is very powerful, my letters in the drawer to be burned.
Sure.
But the deeper part, which I was actually feeling during the session yesterday, was incredible sadness. I don't think I'd ever felt the level of sadness. So yeah, I sobbed for about 20 minutes. And in that course, I got obviously clear on the insight. But you had said that I really have done this to myself. I haven't given myself permission to do what I want to do, you know, and just be me, be free, don't have to get someone else's approval. But I did as you instructed. I did something really nice for myself for an hour. And then I went back and felt the incredible remorse about what I've done to myself on this.
Right.
So that was, and I sobbed about that. And then I went to bed, and this morning when I did the forgiveness, I did something that might be helpful to other people. I actually sat in two different chairs. I went back and forth and sat. I don't know if that can work.
It's sort of a gestalt approach, but yeah, I can see it.
And it was incredible. I mean, just the sobbing, but then it got to the depth of the love, and that's why I was crying. It was, you know, after the forgiveness, the love is so deep. So that was amazing. My question was, I can't really say I see a big difference in my legs they're still somewhat cold. Maybe there's a difference. So my question was, maybe that means more work or whatever. Sometimes the condition just doesn't change. I mean, but I didn't. It didn't matter, like you said. I didn't matter too much. I mean, I was in the love.
Well, first off, congratulations for getting to that level of forgiveness. Now, personally, I kind of like doing the forgiveness immediately after the remorse, because it's sort of like strike while the iron's hot.
Mm.
Because when I'm feeling that real depth of remorse, then the forgiveness is juicier. You know, but that's just my take on it. I'm not sure why symptoms didn't shift more. It's possible that you've got more work to do there. It's possible that there's another issue that's behind it. It's a little hard for me to know from the outside.
Well, that's what came up. Actually, then when I was laying down later today, I felt like, oh, there was another situation that was similar, that where I was frozen in fear.
It sounds like this has been a lifestyle for you throughout your life to kind of like not let yourself completely be yourself.
Yeah, and the fear of what came up today was when I was in terror in school, I would start cheating because to make mistakes wasn't okay, or not to, You know, so that's what came up. So I started to feel sadness about that. But I gather I just then you work. Is it like peeling? It can be like peeling an onion. Like you can.
Absolutely. Okay, but sometimes you get a really big piece off and it just affects a lot of others. It has a chain reaction into other parts of your life. So sometimes if you deal with like three or four of the key moments, that's like the key themes, like if you were to write down all the different situations you can think of around these things and then maybe put them into certain kinds of themes and then realize you've got only, you know, two, three or four themes to deal with and which is the kingpin of each one and then process each of those kingpins and it may have impact on all the rest of it.
Okay.
So you don't have to process every single issue or every single time you're traumatized. But I do expect that your symptoms should open up. And so in the course of this extended workshop, let us know if, you know, the legs start feeling better.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Very much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let me put you on local. And I've got a Jorge. You're on.
Yeah,
Hello,
I'm
Jorge.
Here.
Oh, good. Hi. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you today?
Fine. Thank you. Fine. Thank you. I'm here in the States today.
Wonderful. So what happened for you?
Okay. I go through the seven-step process yesterday night, and at least I'm working with right now with NLP and some life coaching in my session, quantum sessions in Ecuador. And I go through all the seven steps, and I think that the remorse is a new thing for me, and thank you for sharing this information. Because in that part, I feel that I make a big change in the result, in the final result that I have yesterday.
Yeah.
I have a problem with my tongue for at least 5 or 6 years, and I'm working with the regular and the level 2 quantum touch, but I don't have a big difference. But yesterday night, and when I work with Cindy in the morning, I feel better with my tongue. But for sure today, I'm feeling very well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Richard.
You're most welcome. I'm so glad to hear your success. Thank you. Okay. And just to follow up on that, you know, to be able to feel the remorse of having hurt yourself and to let that in so profoundly, then you truly have something to forgive. But all these techniques where you don't really know what you're forgiving and you haven't felt the depth of remorse, the forgiveness is lovely, but it has no power behind it. It's like throwing a ball, but just bend your wrist back and toss it. There's no power. And when you can feel the depth of the remorse, that's when it really opens up. So we've got, if you had a few people with their hands raised, Sherry, I've got you on right now.
Hi,
Hello, Sherry. Hi.
I'm a bit of a emotional daredevil or explorer in terms of healing and my own healing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so that saying, I did the process successfully all the way through, and then as I did that, I realized there were some more details or more people involved. So I did it again, and I wrote a letter. And so it was very wonderful to do that. But I guess the reason I raised my hand is because I landed today and a bit yesterday as well in a place that's pretty familiar for me, and it's a place that I still don't see my way through, which is I feel depressed and my symptoms didn't clear.
All right. Well, you know, these lifetime patterns don't always clear up immediately. And
if I land here, part of what happened to me is I have no idea how to proceed when I'm in it.
Yeah, it is harder to proceed. It's extremely hard to proceed while you're in depression. And if, you know, there's certain meditations that I was taught that work only so-so in trying to help people out of meditation, out of depression. And it's not easy to do it, to work on yourself in that state. And I really wish I had a much better answer to give you. But what I'd suggest is that sometimes when you're doing this deep emotional process, it brings up so many other deeper issues that haven't been addressed yet. And, you know, it's possible that there's just a lot of other angers and hurts associated with the whole syndromes, and things will shift. Now, when you did the emotional process, did you get to the tears of gratitude and joy and love at the end?
I did feel a real connection with myself, and I stayed there for a while until I got there.
Yeah. What I find is that you really need to, everybody, and I appreciate your willingness and your courage to dive into this stuff and be an explorer.
But, you know, when you find yourself coming out of the depression and feeling stronger again or better again, and you try the process again, jump in with both feet and go as deep as you can emotionally without holding yourself back. And see if you can, like, without abandon, dive into the depths of the hurt or the anger, release, let go of the shame or whatever else is inside there, and then really catch that remorse deeply, because that is sort of the hidden prize in this thing that few people have recognized, that if you can get to the place where you really know that you did this to yourself, then it takes a lot of the blame energy out of the vibration and then lets the forgiveness be really powerful. So my sense is you could have gone quite a bit deeper. I think you did.
So, I agree. I absolutely agree. But left to my own devices,
right,
going deeper is something that I mean, that must be it. However, I can't seem to get there. And I've been trying for quite a long time.
Well, I suggest that you practice being easy on yourself and not critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soften the energy a little bit to yourself and be easy with yourself and not so critical. And give yourself permission to kind of like find your way through the forest. Because I think you're going to do fine. I can feel it. You're really determined, and that determination is going to help you tremendously into the future. But just be a little patient, and I know you've been very patient with yourself, but continue doing that, because I really think that you're going to pull through this really well. And you might want to have like a friend or two from this call, you know, from these calls that you connect with. You know, you can ask for some names and stuff, and just have some partners that you can kind of talk to, and you know, encourage each other in your processes, or close friends in your life that you can work with. Because I just think it's going to open up, but you got to give it a little bit of time and be encouraged by the success others have, because they're pathfinders. They're showing us that this is possible, that we can actually get to the other side.
I imagine that when I finally figure this out, I'm going to write about it.
Yeah, well, it's part of your path. So
yeah.
You put a big boulder in your way, and it's there for you to learn through. But now that you have the tool, you can ask, you know, how can I go deeper? Just hold that desire. I want to go deeper the next time I do this. I want to really dig deep. Ask your higher consciousness. Ask, you know, open yourself up to that possibility. I bet, you know, that you can do this thing. And then when you're ready, just with, you know, real sincerity and depth, just go deeper and do it. And I think you're going to be very happy and pleased, and you'll come out the other side. But the depression suggests that there was a lot of anger that you didn't process. It goes a lot deeper than you know or than you're willing to experience. And if you recall, I think the first thing I said on the call was that our hurts and wounds are deeper than we ever want to acknowledge. And our love is deeper than we can ever know. And that's just what's happening here, is you've been really deeply affected, and you need to let yourself experience it.
Okay, that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, see, I've had some people waiting here. Connie, I have you on right now.
Can you hear me, Richard?
Indeed.
Okay, great. I shared with the group yesterday in response to that woman asking about addiction, food addiction, and I explained to you that what I realized and had never realized before was the connection that it was with the sexual abuse, and that took me to feeling like a powerless victim, just like I'd felt to food.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to go through the entire process, and the love was incredible. It was I was just crying. And
yes.
And it was absolutely amazing. And then I got up this morning, or later this morning, because I didn't do it last night. I did it this morning.
Yeah.
I knew something else was there, and what came to me was that when that happened to me, no one talked to me. No one communicated. It was all pushed under the rug.
Sure.
And realizing that my process is to not even allow myself to feel my feelings, because the craving comes first.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got all into this communication thing, did the discovery, did the whole thing, and again came up with that amazing self-love. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So for that lady that came before Sherry who didn't feel her legs heal, I can see a huge shift now than I saw just after I did the powerless victim part.
Yes, yes.
So it took me to the next place. You know what
isn't
I mean?
That oh, that's so exciting. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
It's like horn and hard art. You
pull
out a piece of pie and another one comes out.
Well, I guess there's always more pie.
I guess so.
You know.
Thank you, Richard.
But,
Hey, thank you, Connie, so much. And just to take a second to acknowledge you, the beautiful courage and willingness to go inside there and look at the pattern, everybody. The person goes all the way through. They feel this unfathomable self-love. I mean, who knew that we could feel self-love as deeply or even more deeply than we ever did before in our lives? I mean, that's just exciting. And then to watch the symptoms go away, well, that's just frosting on the cake. So we've had some people waiting. I wish I had written down the order. I hope I get these right. I think, Kim, I think you've been here for a while. I have you on right now.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I definitely want to keep working with this. My experience was not at all linear, although I've often heard emotions aren't linear. As I was, what stage was it? This in the in the release process. I did the anger release process, and as I went through the original situation again and again, different players came forward, and it was like I was tapping into a whole family lineage pattern, and it was as if different players in the family lineage kept coming forward, and I could see that how they could play a different role than they had. So I felt very, like, untied, released. My body felt like it's still going through, like, an unwinding, uncoiling in a way that I've never experienced before. And, I guess I just felt to comment because there was a complexity in that I didn't expect.
Yes.
Of the interplay between so many different family members in a pattern. But then I still totally saw and owned and that I was doing this to myself. So I learned the lesson very well. I learned the pattern so deeply that I knew how to do it to myself better than any of them. And so thank you.
You're so welcome. Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, we have, I'm not sure who is next. I think it might have been Lori. And Lori, you're on. Good morning.
Hello.
So, yes.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
This seven-step process is just a wonderful thing, and as we're hearing from everybody how we continue to unfold probably the discovery and our release. So yesterday as I was with my partner, I came pretty much to my discovery, but as we were going through the conference and your leadership, it became more clearer to me that I did not support myself. And through family dynamics last night, I did not do our homework. So I woke up this morning going, you didn't support yourself last night. You didn't allow yourself to do the homework. So I was laying there in bed and said, okay, well, at least I can start it. And I went into the release and said, I want to do the argument. And I realized, how do you have an argument with yourself when I am not supporting myself and I feel it was just me.
I'm so glad you brought this up because this is a topic that I meant to cover, but I don't always have good notes and I just kind of wing it and I don't always cover everything I mean to cover. But here's what it comes down to. Anger toward yourself. You want to save for last. In other words, no child is ever angry with themselves. Like they come out of the womb and they sit in their crib going, "Hi, I'm pissed, angry at myself." No, they don't have that. It's just not how it works. Anger towards yourself is how you feel after you've been wounded. And when you try to process anger towards yourself, it is impossible to process unless you have first released the anger you have toward the others. And then, after you've released it toward the others, then you can release whatever is remaining on yourself. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody is just completely over the top in their expression of anger? In other words, they're coming at you with a 9 or a 10 when probably they should have come at you with a 3 or a 4, right?
Absolutely. Yes, very much so.
Well, that's what happens when you try to express anger to yourself. You're coming at yourself with a 9 or a 10 when you deserve a 3 or a 4. And it's out of place, and it means you haven't really released the anger. So when you are down on yourself, yeah, you are down on yourself. That's really true. That's a good insight. But how'd you learn that? Where'd that come from?
Well, as I started to have this argument, I went, I don't like the feeling. I don't want to hear what I have to say to myself. I didn't like the hurt it was allowing me to feel.
That's right.
I said, okay. So I said, okay, what if you were going to have this argument with somebody else? What would you say to that other person? So I let it rip.
All right.
I went up one side, down the other, and used all these foul words, and da 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 da, and on and on and on and on. All right. Okay. So now you're going to have this argument. How would you really like to put it? And so I started, I did that. I did it, brought the anger down and really calm and very purposely. This is what I need to do for yourself, da-da-da. And so then I got to, okay, so let's crack the shell. As I mm-hmm. cracked the shell, dropped me right into forgiveness and self-love.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Because it immediately said to me, sorry, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And I just went, wow. So as I started that process, I could keep saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm sorry,
yeah.
please forgive me. And the other person was saying, or my other self saying that to me. As I got down to, please forgive me, I love you, yeah. I myself couldn't get past that. But the other person, my other self, got to,
yeah.
I forgive you, I love you.
Yeah.
And I said, why can't I get past, please forgive me, I love you? And then my other
yeah.
self came up to me, held my hand, looked into my eyes, said, I forgive you, I love you. That's when the dam broke and I just started
yes.
crying.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
And I also had lower back pain, hip pain, and stomach issues. I got up out of bed and I went, oh, okay, it feels a little better. And today, and now it's like, it's all gone. I feel light, I feel all gone.
And in retrospect, if I may, isn't getting the love back more valuable than physical stuff
yeah.
was debilitating?
Oh, it's just like, oh, finally, somebody loves me, and that's me loving me.
Yeah,
I can't put
yeah.
it in words.
yeah, and that's why I think you're really stating what this class really is about, and it's about getting back to the love again, which is 1,000 times more valuable than the physical problem was really debilitating, because that's what you wanted. And I believe, this is my perspective, that our higher self opens up our opportunity to have these physical conditions as a way to remind us of how we stop loving. We have the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but as a communication on how we shut down.
I agree.
When
I feel that it wasn't anybody to blame. It
mm-hmm.
was just me not nurturing, supporting myself, and loving myself.
Okay.
That's what,
well,
there was nobody there to blame. That's what I feel, you know.
Well, hey, you know, your truth works for you, and it's
mm-hmm.
a testament in your body that it's true. I mean, it's mm-hmm. demonstrated that it's true based on your physiology. So who's to
yeah.
argue with your physiology, right?
Exactly. So thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. And really appreciate that. By the way, if anybody ever wants to write up any synopsis of these experiences, we can throw it in a newsletter or on our website that people can be inspired to want to take this workshop at some point. That would be very appreciated, because we'd love to spread the word, since most people don't know this exists. Got a couple people still holding, and I hope I get this in order right. Cindy, you are on.
Hello.
Hi.
I got lost in the process a little bit last night. So
okay.
I got, you know, through the insight and the remorse, but the forgiveness, so you're forgiving yourself?
Yeah.
Or forgiving others?
All right. So let's just review briefly. You have the discovery that you were upset with somebody or something. I mean, the discovery what the emotional cause was.
Okay.
The condition.
Right.
Then you released those emotions. And then you had the insight to realize that whatever they were doing to you, you were doing to yourself, right?
Correct.
Okay. Then you felt bad about having hurt yourself. That's remorse.
Right.
Then you take that remorse and you forgive yourself for having hurt yourself.
Okay.
So your question then becomes...
So then out
like
of that, you move into...
Yeah.
Once you forgive yourself, you move into the self-love.
It's automatic.
This is one
of the really interesting things about the process. The forgiveness automatically brings you into self-love. And if
right.
you do it well, the self-love becomes so overwhelming that the uncontrollable tears happen and you're connecting to your spirituality. And whether people believe in their spirituality or not, it's irrelevant. They connect anyway, because that's just what happened. And whether
exactly.
you give it a name or not, you're there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I've got a couple people here. Let's see. We have Alicia. You are on.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
So I kind of feel like I'm a little stuck at the beginning, partially
All right.
because I never kind of fully made it through the discovery process yesterday.
Okay.
And after I got off the call last night, I was excited, and at the same time I was a little tired, so I didn't actually
sure.
take myself through the process. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, and I had emailed Jennifer, and I know that you said, you know, she was going to help us connect with others to walk through the process, because I also... I feel a little bit like the woman who was talking about depression. But I also, I would like somebody to do it, to help me kind of walk through the discovery process.
Let's do that right now, okay? Is that all right?
Okay.
Or you want to do it, privately?
No, that would be great. I would love to do
okay.
it.
Okay, so what's the name of your condition?
I have chronic low back pain on the left side in my SI joint.
Low back pain.
Yeah.
See, you're getting way more specific than I need. I just need to know it's back pain, low back pain, okay? That's sufficient.
Okay.
And chronic is a good word, too. All right, so when did this start?
I think in my early 20s, but I honestly can't remember.
Let's call it our early 20s.
It seems like I've had it for a long time.
You mean you're over 20? Okay. you're not in your 20s. Okay. So what are the symptoms?
They alternate, but...
just tell me a bunch of them.
It goes from...
And you may have notes that you've written down already, and you can speed it up by going through some of your notes and telling me what you've written down.
Achy, sharp, weak, compressed, feeling...
Hold on. Compressed. What's the next one?
Overwhelmingly... It feels unstable.
Okay.
Like it doesn't, it can't, like there are times when it hurts so much that I can't, it feels like it doesn't support my spine, doesn't support me.
Okay. And describe the pain.
Intense, like just kind of takes my full attention sometimes. And it also shifts. Like sometimes it's on the left, sometimes it's on the right. It's almost like elusive. Like I never know when it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nagging. It's like always there.
Wow.
And it's been getting worse. And the diagnosis is arthritis in that area has been forming.
Okay. And if you were going inside the pain, how does the pain actually feel in itself?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I just was testing a new question. That's what I was doing.
Okay.
You know, kind of like, I remember reading a list of 500 words that people use to describe pain. And I don't want to give you, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, and I'm not wanting to at all, but just to give you an information and everybody else some information, they had burning, searing, intense, tearing, on and on, you know. And I realized every one of those words they describe about pain was a word that also describes emotion. So I was kind of hoping to hear some more words, pain descriptive words that you might have about how your pain feels. You were describing sort of what.
Oh yeah,
pain
I can. Yeah, I can give you some of those throbbing.
Oh,
so it'll go back and forth between throbbing, numb, tingly, almost like fiery. Like it just is, and it's spreading.
Okay.
It's as if there's just a knife being stabbed into my back.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Okay. So let's move on. And what emotions do you feel because of there?
I get really, I swing. I go between frustrated to being hopeless. And, you know, my question yesterday around, I'm never going to be able to change this. I mean, whole thing that you started this morning with around the multiple personalities is fascinating to me. And yet there's this inside of me, it's like, I'm never going to be able to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this hopeless giving up, like, I just have to deal with it, anger, because it really interferes sometimes with my daily activities.
Okay.
I love to teach a lot of times when I stand for a long period of time.
But
that's when it really hurts.
Okay, and what judgments do you have about the condition?
You know, that's a hard question. Is there another way that you could use the word judgment? Can you ask, is there a way to ask that question in another way? For some reason, I get stuck on that.
I know. I'm trying to think. I don't really have another way of asking it that I can think of. What I get is how I literally judge the condition as, you know, being bad or wrong or shouldn't be there or angry at it. You know, it's just these harsh judgments that I give the darn thing. And these are really important pieces of information because they give me information about... why I created it.
Yeah, okay. Well, it just it just feels like it's at the core of something. Like it really flares up. Like I've had a history of irritable bowel and pain in my lower abdomen, and it's all interconnected.
Right.
So I mean, it just feels like it runs my life in some ways.
So the judgment about it running your life is
I hate it. That's not a feeling. I hate it.
That you hate it. Yeah, exactly.
Like see, I hate it, and I'm resigned. Like there's this level of resignation.
Okay, now we're getting some good juicy stuff.
Okay.
Hate it and resigned. See, that's a really powerful statement right there.
Okay.
Good work. Okay, and what it keeps you from doing? You've mentioned teaching.
A lot of physical activities, some different types of exercise. I love to dance. But after I do any kind of activities, really, that are physical, I was in massage therapy as a therapist for a while, and I stopped doing it because it was just too much for my low back.
Okay, so...
It stops me from a lot of things.
Okay, well, anyway, so it's not really giving me a great deal at the moment, but thank you. And does it cause you to do things differently in your life?
Yeah, I really have to... I'm always... I'm always being careful. I always have to think about what I can do or not do.
Okay.
I get cautious.
Note to the workshop is look how that information just came out there. Always being careful, cautious. That is really interesting information, and that came from that question. Okay, and so if you were to use what I call imaginary physiology and just kind of a dreamlike image of what's happening inside your back, not physiological image, it's as if...
Before I said a nice stabbing, but that's not quite right. It's more as if, it's like somebody's in there with a jackhammer and like it like hits it, part of it, and the whole thing just gets completely out of alignment. Like it, like something gets knocked out and collapses and crumbles.
Okay, so it's kind of getting crumbled. Okay. Well, let's just take a stab at it, okay?
Okay.
all right, bad pun. no pun intended, really, that time. It came out.
I know. It's interesting how language just does that.
Jennifer is shaking her head at me. She says, Rich, you're terrible. Okay. She won't stop laughing. She's in the background listening. Okay.
I've done it myself.
So, all right. So in your early 20s, was there somebody who was making you feel unstable, that you always had to be careful and cautious, where you hated it but you felt resigned?
First thing that comes to mind is my dad.
So was he doing things to make you feel like you had to be cautious a lot and careful?
Yeah, like when I was in finishing up college, starting my career, and there was always, no matter what I did, there was always criticalness and judgment. Like I never made the right decision.
Okay, and so let's just walk through and pretend that it might be dad and see if it fit, okay?
Okay.
So it made you feel frustrated.
Yes.
Hopeless?
Yeah, like I would never, he'd never really listen to me.
Yeah, make you feel like giving up?
Yeah, I used to give up. Like I'd get in a conversation with him and then at some point I'd just say, you know what, I can't even keep going.
And then angry, of course.
Yes.
And so the statement, I hate it, the way he's treating you.
Yes, absolutely.
And resigned.
Yep.
Always having to be careful and cautious.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And made you feel weak.
Yes.
Overwhelmed.
Yes.
Unstable.
Yes.
He's not supporting you?
No. Not supporting me.
Yeah. Intense pain?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you said it shifts and elusive. You never know when it's going to come at you. That's true. Yeah, so he was kind of coming from time to time, here or there. You never knew when he was going to catch you.
Right.
And then you used the word nagging, just relentless.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty ongoing.
Robbing, numb. So what we have here is a really deep fit between the lack of support that you got, achy and sharp, of course. But you got this really deep fit between the emotions of dad in your early life, and who knows how much longer, it was going on way before you were in your 20s, of course, but that's when your back finally gave out, right?
Right.
So your back finally said, I can't take it anymore. And so this is the one. This is where it is. It's the dad stuff. And there may be other things too, but this is the big one.
Okay.
Sense?
So then focusing on the feelings, so for the next step in the release, focusing on which feelings exactly?
All right. So the feelings of him having to always be careful and cautious around him, being so overwhelmed and resigned, hating his behavior, those are the feelings you're working on. Like, like as if he was a jackhammer, just causing you to crumble. Those feelings, I forgot to mention those, the jackhammer and the crumbling, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's just making you crumble. No wonder you can't stand up if you're feeling like you're crumbling.
Right.
You know, so here's this person who has been, in a sense, let's just say, dominating you and being really critical and not giving you support. That's what you need to go into. Okay, so that's the discovery. It takes you through those questions. When you come out the discovery, then you need to do the release, where you release
right.
all those emotions about that, right?
Right, right, yep.
And then you realize the insight that you have done much of this to yourself. But that's not, you're not ready for that insight yet. It would be unhelpful for you to try to go into the insight right now. And this is how people can sabotage their process. A friend of mine was using this process, and she was so adept. She could jump right from the discovery into the insight and skip the release. And then when it did work at all for her, she had to go back to the release, and then it worked perfectly. So you need to just follow the steps. But you're there. You know the information now.
And the release, because we talked yesterday primarily between anger or hurt and sadness
yeah.
and grief. So for
yeah.
me, this seems like there's actually a combination of both in here.
Absolutely. You're going to process both of them deeply. And
okay.
don't be in too much of a hurry. Don't say, okay, I'm going to whip through and be done in, you know, in an hour. Maybe you can. But I'd say give yourself time. Go through the depths of the hurt. Nurture yourself for an hour. Go through the intensity of the emotional release of the anger. Just let yourself sweat when you're doing the process. Let it be really strong. Then, after that's over, then find the insight, go into the remorse, the forgiveness, and then you'll be home free.
Thank you so much, Richard. I really,
yeah.
really appreciate this.
Oh, yes, this is why I'm here. Thank you, too, for your courage and willingness to share your process with everyone.
Thank you. And I really, you know, that what you started with today, I mean, I know I asked you that question yesterday. I mean, that just, it's really powerful. And then, you know, to be able to somehow translate that to my own ability
yeah.
to make such a significant shift is definitely inspiring.
Won't that be fun for you to report back and that we'll know how well you did?
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, take good care.
You.
Yeah. All right, and next up, we've got a couple people waiting here. We've got Lynn, Lynn here, and Lynn, you are on.
Hi, Richard. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I guess I have gone through the process, the discovery, and the other steps. I guess my biggest issue that I'm feeling is the situation that I'm dealing with is an ongoing situation.
Yes.
And I don't know how do you handle an ongoing situation. This isn't something that happened in my past. You know, it's something that continues to happen to me. And
yes.
I'm asking this for me, but also for people that I'm planning on helping. How, you know, if they're in that situation, how do I help move them
yeah.
through that?
Here's the deal. Not everybody wants to be emotionally honest and vulnerable and real about what's going on. And not everybody appreciates one person growing when they're not making that same decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you end up with is a situation where I'm choosing to transform and I need to talk about my real emotions with you. And you have a contract with me that we've had a contract with each other that we're going to shut up and not talk about what's really going on. I will be playing this side of the abuse game, and you'll be playing that side of the abuse game, and we'll be dancing this thing together. And when that kind of contract happens and one person changes the contract, then you create an extremely unstable situation.
Yeah.
And now the best thing that can happen is for the partners to learn empathy skills.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn how to listen and care about the other person's feelings. Now, a really simple empathy skill is just for both people to say, look, we have not had good empathy skills, if any at all, because most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to practice this with you. They may not even agree to that much, which is okay, but that sucks because it kind of makes your choices clearer.
Yeah.
But a simple empathy skill is I'm going to say three things about you that make me feel good, and you have to shut up and listen and not make any defensive reasons about why you're doing this or that, and repeat back to me what I said as if you know, showing me that you care about what I just said. So when you listened to me when I was telling you about my feelings, I felt really loved. And when you brought me those flowers, blah, 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 I felt so happy inside that you cared for me. And, you know, just good things. And then listening and caring and repeating back. And you get kind of good at this, going back and forth with some good things. And then you practice saying some things that aren't so easy to say. Like when you were reading the paper and pretending to listen to me at breakfast, I felt really hurt, okay? Or when you forgot to, meet me at the cafe, and you spaced it out, I felt angry and sad. And for them to listen, not make any defensive, say, well, let me tell you why that happened. But no, I just want you to listen and care. And I had an amazing experience many years ago with a friend. We had what I could only describe as a world-class misunderstanding. And we were so angry with each other. She stomped upstairs, and I didn't talk to her for over an hour, and she finally came downstairs and said, okay, you go first. We had been practicing empathy skills. So I told her what I had to say, and you could see she wanted to just yell at me, but she was quiet. And she listened, and she repeated back to me what I said and said, okay, did I understand it all? And I said, yeah. And I actually felt complete. And then she told me stuff that made me just, my head want to explode, and I couldn't repeat it back to her at all. I was just so upset. I said, I got so upset when you told me that. I don't think I can remember half of what you said. Why don't you tell me again? And she said, gladly. And so she told me again what it was, and this time I think I was able to repeat about 80% of it, and she helped me with the other 20%, and I said, you feel complete? She said, yes. And then I exploded with what I had to say, and she listened to me, and we went back and forth 3 full rounds on this one. We never repeated ourselves once, and when we got through the 3 rounds, we had completely flattened it out. We understood everything. We never had to go back to it again. We never mentioned it a second time. And that could have ended our friendship right there.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is people do not feel safe expressing the intensity of their emotions with each other. And so we end up with these very fragile relationships. They're fragile because if anybody rocks the boat, we're afraid it's going to sink. And honesty requires honesty. It requires that we're really self-revealing and vulnerable. And sometimes...
Well,
yeah.
I feel like, I'll just tell you, it's my relationship, it's my husband, and we are very honest with each other.
Right.
He's honest with his feelings, I'm honest with mine, but the issue is he's not being supportive of me since I've been starting my spiritual journey. He's scared. Thinks that I'm going to the occult,
and it's been very hard
on
me. And that's what you need to be honest about, is that, let him know that this isn't the occult and that this is how you feel and that you want to support,
It keeps, the situation just keeps happening, and how I discover, with the discovery, I've had some issues happening inside my body, and I know I keep thinking that I can handle what he's doing to me. I feel like I'm a survivor, but you're not. It comes to you on a cellular level. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can continue my journey and not allow his words to penetrate my soul anymore. And I feel like we've been dealing with a lot of people that have had things when they were younger or in their past, and I'm just trying to figure out, is there a way to do this when you're in it?
That's a really good question. I wish I had, stronger answers. Sometimes people move apart.
Yeah.
People are on different paths, and they can't bridge the difference in path.
Yeah.
And, and it sounds like you guys are honest enough to really... and care about each other tremendously.
Yeah.
But I guess the question, I had to ask a question of somebody recently. I said, look, you're really unhappy about A, B, C, and D, and the thing isn't going to change. I said, what do you want to do? And then he said, well, I need to do something else then. And, you know, and if it's honest and say, look, this is my path, and I love my path, and I want you to, I want you and I to stay together and be happy, but I'm not going to change, and I don't want to hear your criticism, and I don't want to, you know, have you constantly, you know, what do you want to do? You know, do you want to start, you know, you want to be more accepting and learn about what I'm doing, or do you want to move away?
Right.
Like, you can't be in limbo, and that's where the, that real honesty comes in. You might also find that, you know, there's a resonance to some past stuff. Maybe not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if there is a resonance, then you can deal with the resonance issue. It's possible that your journey just needs to go on, and he may or may not choose to accompany you.
Mm-hmm. And that was something I was going to ask you was, I am a firm believer that a lot of times we bring, you know, and part of me is asking myself, am I bringing in his this to my life? Am I, whatever I'm dealt with in my life, am I asking for somebody to be in my life and not support me? And I don't feel like I have, and I've dealt with many other past issues. And I mean, is that what you feel? Do you feel like a lot of the things that happen to us we bring onto ourselves, or are there some things that we don't?
Well, my personal philosophy is that we create our reality, and there's no fine print. Now, I can't always, you know, acknowledge most of what's going on in the world and say, yeah, I did that. But I feel like on an individual case-by-case basis, you know, I can be on the phone with you or in a workshop and help people find emotional causation for specific issues. And if it's working individually, I think it also works collectively, but we don't understand it as well. I think that, yeah, we do create it. And I think you're really on track of finding your way, however that goes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I hope I was helpful a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, good. And we have Julia. Julia, sorry for the long wait, but
hello,
you are
Richard.
On now. Hi, Julia.
Thank you. Hello, hi, thanks. This relates to that last thing, because I'm still on the release stage with an issue which is ongoing, but started with my birth, really, and I'm wondering which kind of story to use for my meditation, because I've had a half-hearted attempt at, well, I say half-hearted because I was needed sleep really more than, but sorry, I wanted to know whether I could use what I'm most angry about, which is what's happening now today, or
sure.
use something further away that I remember details of, or if I can make up a story and fill in some likely details that goes a long way back.
What do you mean, make up a story? I don't understand.
Well, it's imagine an event, but then it's sort of coloured by my feelings at the moment. Imagine an event, you know, that I can get angry about that could have happened but didn't actually happen.
Well, I would rather stick with real events. I think there's enough bad things that have happened without having to make one up.
Yes. I don't have clear memories. That's the problem. But
I see.
Sure, you're
see.
Right. There's plenty to find.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would go with what you have, and if it's current situation, you know, you can start there. Always start where the energy is strong, where the energy is hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And
thank you. Also, sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that the reason I don't want to go into real events is because they bring up another thing which I wanted to ask you about, which is the humiliation, sort of embarrassment aspect of, I'm not sure what emotion that falls into. To me, it feels like it's connected to some kind of unrequited love.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it
kind
can
of
be.
Being bullied, you know, or shown up.
Well, it's very, being bullied and unrequited love sounds very different to me.
Really?
But
But when I say bullied, it's more like manipulation and sort of humiliation. And
humiliation hurts deeply, and it causes a lot of raging anger. You know, that's really strong stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely dive into those things, release them, and do the process, you know, and look at the themes that are there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these things don't happen in a vacuum. I guess what I was wanting to say is that you notice how when I've done these processes out loud with people in the workshop, that what I'm really aiming at is not the bullseye on the target 100 yards away. I'm looking at the broadside of the barn that's 20 feet away. We're looking at Dad. Yeah. We're looking at, Mom. We're looking at the ex. We're looking at that terribly heartbreaking experience. Or in one case, I mentioned the piano instructor who was hitting the girl every time she made a mistake on the piano and traumatizing her for years. You know, it's somebody really significant in your life. This is not like, you know, trying to, you know, find the one cell in the petri dish. Now, this is it's the big one.
Yeah, I think I've got some resistance to it because I start to see their point of view, and I have to let the bow go too soon. I can't really have a big long one. I'm scared of that. But I suppose just put persistence, maybe.
Well, the thing is that you're scared and you feel like there's that humiliation in there. That's deep stuff. Go into it.
That's
really powerful, important stuff, and you should, and
yeah.
you go
I've
into
got
it.
Yeah, the material. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So you're ready to go. Okay, good. Okay, you're welcome. Okay, well, we've gone an hour and a half, and we've got all the questions answered for the time being. What I'd like to suggest is that, first off, I'm really so thrilled that so many of you are doing so well with the process, and I feel like you're all getting a sense of what this is and where we're going with it. And I'm thinking it's break time. I see Edikari raised her hand, and so I'm going to ask if we can take this after. We'll take like a 20-minute break, but an hour and a half is a long time to be on the phone. So let's take a break and come back. It's about 11:30 here in California, so let's call it 20 minutes from now, and I'll catch you all in a little bit. Okay, well, see you soon. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I'm back. We've still got a few people yet to pick up the phone again. So what I have noticed about in this workshop is that I've been giving the information very quickly at the beginning, and little bits and pieces that didn't get covered always get covered in the process. And what people tend to do with this work is they wrestle with it, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do, is wrestle with the material, and let's work with it together. And as you work with it, we can work together. Okay, so I see that Kay has her hand up, and so we'll take Kay right now. Hi, Kay, you're on. Hello, Kay. Hello, Kay. You maybe I didn't hit the microphone properly.
Yeah, you're on. You apparently hit a button. Kay, can you hear me? Eve, do you have any suggestions for what's going on here? Kay has her hand up. But,
It sounds like she... Can you hear me, Richard?
I can hear you, Eve.
It sounds like maybe she accidentally pressed one and...
Okay.
And isn't on the phone, so
right.
Maybe
well, I'll
come
put,
back.
I'll put her back on local, and
okay.
We'll see where that goes. And Nancy, you have a question, and you are on.
Hi. It's not a question, actually, just something I would like to share. I am a collector of wisdom and a lover of words, so I put quotes on my refrigerator to see them and make them a part of me. And this, just sitting here and listening to all these different stories and all the different feelings and emotions and situations that start them has just given new meaning to something that I've been looking at on a regular basis, and I just wanted to share that. And here's the little quote. Any feeling fully experienced becomes love. And boy, that's poignantly true.
Boy, you know, that is so well put. That's beautiful because it's really true. That love is the basis of all of it.
Yes. So thank you.
That's a beautiful sharing. It reminds me of an amazing conversation I had with this woman, and she was so angry at somebody. And I said, well, if you could say or do anything, what would you do? She said, well, I'd want to tell him how bad he, you know, I'd want to make him feel terrible. And she painted all these fantasies, one after another. Well, if she could have that, what would you want even more? Well, I'd want him to feel really terrible about what he did. And then when it finally came down to it, you know, about the sixth or seventh generation of her fantasies about what she'd want to do to him, well, I just want him to love me, because that was at the bottom of it. And it's always at the bottom. Yeah, thank you, Nancy. That's beautiful.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, Kara, you had your hand up a while before,
yep.
So hi.
Mike, hi, again. My question is, if there's a bit, will there always be feelings, pretty, I guess, strong feelings, around the situation? In other words, so if there's not a fit, I mean, if they're not strong feelings, it's not really a fit. The reason I asked that, because last night when we left, I said I was dealing with two possibilities, and one was around my mom. And there just wasn't much energy around it. And I looked at it again. Is that the case?
Well, there's a couple possibilities. One is that you just don't want to feel those emotions, and the other is that there isn't a lot of emotion there.
Yeah, usually I'm pretty willing to feel the feeling. So
okay.
Then,
in that case, it may not be mom.
Yep, okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yes, go where the energy is. Go where
right.
the strong emotion is. Yes.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Okay. And I'm almost feeling like a radio host, okay? Lori, you're on now.
Yes. Hi, Richard. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. My question basically is, after doing this processing between last night and this morning, I'm stuck in the remorse phase of the fact that I feel like right now I hate myself for doing this to myself, and I can't make the leap to the next step of the forgiveness and the self-forgiveness. Do I just push through that and do it anyway?
Yeah, basically. What happens is when you've gone into the remorse and you spent, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 minutes there and you've really let yourself feel what you've done to yourself and you've gotten yourself to that stage of near unforgivability or even unforgivability, you are so ready to explode into the other side. But it's tough. It's really tough. But what you do is you just do the process. And the process is fairly straightforward at the beginning because you've got you and you sitting facing each other saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. No, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And you're just saying it back and forth. And there's not a lot of responsibility to do that because there's no big change at that point. You're just saying, I'm sorry, and you really mean it. I've really hurt myself. I'm sorry. So it's not a big stretch to go from the remorse to, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. That's not a big stretch. The big stretch happens when you take a chance at some point, or you get the nod internally to go ahead, and you say, I forgive you. You know, I love you. And you take a chance and you say that while the other one, the one maybe facing you, is saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And you're just repeating, I forgive you, I love you. Maybe you don't even quite feel ready for it, but just try it anyway at some point. Just try it. And what happened to me when I hit a place of deep unforgivability, you know, this is stuff I've been doing myself, so I didn't just make up some technique. This is something I've actually been working with a lot. And what happens is when I get to that stage, maybe after I've said it 3 or 4 times, you know, I forgive you, I love you, I really feel the truth of it. Like at first, I'm almost like just saying the words, and I'm not even sure if I fully believe it when I say I forgive you, I love you. And then after I do it 3 or 4 or 5 times, I'm really believing it because I take it on. And then when you hit that
that level of forgiveness of I forgive you, I love you, which eventually turns into the other one saying back to you, I forgive you, I love you. And then the I forgive you, I love you just builds and builds into I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And let that just expand and explode into light. And it just becomes overwhelming. And like people say, they just go into tears. So it sounds like you're really close, really close. You're just pulling through to the other side of this.
Okay, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Okay. And we have Kay again. Hopefully we can get you this time. Kay, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me this time?
Yeah, I do.
Good. I tried to go on a headset, and I guess there was something wrong with the mic. So I'm sorry if it's not as good audio, but it's the best I can do right now.
All right.
My process was that I did, I really got into the anger. I actually wrote an 11-page letter, and then I hid it. And,
oh.
Yeah. But at the end of the letter, Richard, I was sad for myself, sad for my dad, the person he is and the pain he must be in, sad for the little girl of me, and my heart was hurting. And then I went into the insight. And the insight was almost overwhelming. I mean, I wasted 20 years of my life. It was almost too much to see. And then I went into the forgiveness, and I felt a lot of remorse. And just like the other caller, the I forgive you, I love you, it just didn't feel authentic. And I kept working with it, and I just felt it was words. So I tried to go into, well, what is this about? And I realized I was very angry because it was enough for the cruelty that happened in earlier years. But now to be saying, you know, I did this to myself and I wasted 20 years of my life energy, and it just felt like a no-win to me. And I was stuck with a lot of anger again.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'm picking up is that you're doing everything right, but the one thing that I would add to it is you need to spend more time releasing the anger before you try to go all the way into forgiveness, because there's still so much anger left over yet that needs to be expressed outwardly. And then you do need to do the forgiveness. So it's 20 years, but you need to acknowledge that and forgive that, because the alternative is not a good one, because if you hold on to that emotional space, another 20, that's not a good plan either.
Well, I agree with that, but I just need a point of clarification. Am I now working with the anger towards myself?
No. What you want to do is you want to first release all the anger you have toward dad or whoever is you're processing.
Okay.
You want to really be done with that first, and the hurt that goes along with it. Then the remorse is where you're really feeling the pain of what you did to yourself.
Yeah,
and then you're ready for the forgiveness, and you can let the forgiveness come in. But it's really hard to let the forgiveness come in if you haven't finished the release.
Okay, here's the point that I'm trying to get at. I feel like, to some degree I was wounded in for a number of years. And here I feel like I'm wounding myself again by saying, I did this. You know, do you see what I'm saying? I feel like I'm getting kicked twice.
Okay, so what you're seeing is that the insight step feels like abuse.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. And let's look at that for a moment. The insight.
Please, I'm very open.
Excuse me?
No, I'm just saying I'm very open. I really want to get well. I really want to get this.
I understand. And so we're exploring this together. We're having a good time doing it. The deal is I, for years and years, could not get to the insight step because I couldn't see that I had done this thing to me. I refused to acknowledge that I had hurt myself. It was just everybody else hurting me, and so I could only blame. And this takes a very high level of responsibility to see that I have been treating myself the way other people treated me. And it isn't about beating myself up at all. It's just about owning the truth and acknowledging it and healing it. That's the purpose of it. It's not about self-flagellation. We have an echo. If you've got something else turned on, you can turn off the second device or a phone or something, but we got a lot of echo going on.
I don't think it's from me.
No, it's not on this side. So anyway, it's only on this call with you. So anyway, let's follow through with this as we can. So do you understand the distinction?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Yeah. Because if you realize that now you're treating yourself the way they treated you, you can feel bad and sorry that you've done this yourself, but it's not about beating yourself up at that point. There's nothing beating yourself up about that realization. It's very disappointing, and it's very painful, but it's not beating up. It's just acknowledging the full truth. What if some wise guy said, the truth will set you free? You know, there's so much truth that honesty and truth is really a tremendous healing force.
I was very angry at myself when I really started to get possession.
Yeah, I can understand. But, hey, better to let that out of the bag, you know, so that you can fully be yourself. Because if you're going to carry that anger around for the next 20 years, that's not a good picture.
Yeah, you're right.
Better to just spend, you know, here's a really interesting thought. Most people would rather spend 50 years in extreme emotional discomfort, or just call it emotional discomfort, than spend 15 minutes feeling emotional agony.
Well, it is really agony. I mean, yes, yeah. I agree with you that the 15 minutes is worth it, but, I mean, it's almost overwhelming. I mean, it was very uncomfortable, to say the least.
Well, it's supposed to be. And
okay.
The first thing I did is congratulate everybody on their courage to want to even go here. You know, when people ask me, you know, or when I'm talking to my friends about the self-created health process, I don't say I love this process and I love doing it. I don't like doing it. I do it when I need to or when I have to. It's like I don't want to have to go there and dredge up the stuff and process it, but when I do and I need to, it's the best thing in the world. And when I can help other people to do it too, it's really, I think, a form of soul retrieval. You take yourself back again, because we've all disowned ourselves to some extent, and that's why we carry this pain. We've disowned parts of ourselves. When we take ourselves back again, that's when we can be fully ourselves.
I'm very grateful for this work. I am, because it's given me an opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm so looking forward to you fully being yourself.
Thank you, Richard.
You bet. Okay.
Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So what I've done with this particular workshop is extremely unusual, even for me. And that is, I give you all the essential information at the beginning and then ask you to wrestle with it and process it, and then let's talk about it, and so that you can really feel like you own this this material. And so I don't have a lot more to, I don't have any other original material to share with you today. What I'm here for is to support all of you getting what you need so you can really help yourself feel that this process is really your process, to walk you through any of the bumps and answer any questions that you have. And right now, we don't have anybody with their hand raised. So if you would like to ask a question or make a comment or talk about your experience, this would be a really good time to do so. And if not, I'm just going to be sitting here talking to myself at my computer screen and just wondering where we're going to go. Because we've got a few people lit up. All right, good. So Donna, you are on.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I'm having a challenge with finding the resonance with my symptoms or conditions. I understand, I think, pretty clearly the rest of the process, but I feel kind of stuck because sometimes I think there are people that in my life that I would attach correlation with, but I don't know if that's real. You know what I mean? Actually getting to the process of...
So you're talking about the discovery process?
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't get something that totally lines up and matches for you? Hello?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So, do you want to do that now?
I would love to, just so I can get more clarity.
Okay, all right. So, I hope this is helping everybody. I think when you see how we do it over and over and over again, you say, oh, wow, we can really find answers, and that makes it easier. All right, what's the condition you want to work on?
My vision, my eyesight.
Okay, what's going on with the eyesight?
It's not clear. It fluctuates on a daily basis. I have difficulty focusing on print, reading like I used to, seeing a larger picture when I go into a store. Everything is just out of focus. I can't concentrate or focus on any one thing. I can't see things individually.
What do you mean individually?
It looks like just one big view of information, and it's almost overwhelming processing all of them. Like before,
okay.
I could see, you know, a box of this, a can of this, a table of that, a person there. When I go in and there's a lot of big, overwhelming visual information. I can't see everything clearly. That makes
okay, I'm taking notes here. Okay. All right. Now, so are there any other symptoms?
In terms of how it feels, I mean, it's very straining on my eyes. It's being tiring process of all of these, very fuzzy headed, when I can't see very clearly.
When did this begin? Was that?
It was literally immediate.
I know. When did it begin? The phone connection isn't quite too good.
I'm sorry, 9 years ago.
9 years ago. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, and any other symptoms you want to describe?
Into words, kind of where I get stuck. Don't enjoy looking at. Don't enjoy sitting on my deck and looking at the horizon. It's not clear. The beauty, did everything because it does not.
All right. What emotions do you feel because there?
Frustrated, angry, very scared and overwhelmed. Especially when it fluctuates and it gets really bad, and I really can't focus. Other things. It's very frustrating when people don't understand that this is real and they can feel.
Yeah.
Like there's a problem, but it really is, and it's impacting on everything.
Tell me about that.
I guess, like vision is not something that people can see, it's something you experience.
Right.
You go to a doctor and they say, there's nothing wrong with you. Your talent in everything you're doing, reading, driving, working, sitting there, walking down a hallway, all the information you see.
Right.
And don't see that and understand that I struggle every second of every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So tell me more about the emotions you feel. You said frustrated, angry, scared, overwhelmed, struggle, challenge.
And uncertain of what's going on. Really understanding what's going on to really be able to do.
Yeah.
It's been so long, I've tried all different things, and I know it's dynamic. I know it's not a static thing. That makes
okay.
Sense.
And
not
so,
or not,
yeah.
But it gets worse.
So, it's fluctuating. So, what judgments do you have about the condition?
I should have been able to clear this by now because I've worked so hard in all different aspects.
Yeah.
And I think it also, one of the judgments, when I thought about the judgments, as I go back to the day it happened, like, I would not be going through this, like, because of this.
Well, okay, you're breaking up. Can you speak a little louder or clearer or something? Because it just kind
of... I can pick up the handset. That makes it easier.
That might help. That might help a lot.
Okay, is this better?
Infinitely.
Okay. I guess, you know, one of my judgments is this wouldn't be happening to me if my husband would have taken me seriously 9 years ago. Maybe this wouldn't have, this shift wouldn't have happened. I wasn't feeling well, and I got very blurry and dizzy and everything and passed out, and from that moment on, my vision changed, and I kind of feel like, you know, well, what if he took me seriously that I wasn't feeling well, and I went outside?
Yeah.
Maybe this all wouldn't have happened. I would have been fine, and my life would have been fine from that day forward as it was at that moment, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah,
so
that might be a big one.
Yeah, there's a huge judgment of I'm really angry.
Yeah, I think that might be the key right there, but we'll go on as if we didn't know that. So what does it keep you from doing?
Just in every moment of just enjoying my moments, I love to just sit and look at things and observe things and enjoy beauty. I love to read. I don't love to do any of that anymore because it's very effortful. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable
right.
anymore. Nothing is enjoyable unless I close my eyes. If that makes sense.
I think it's a very significant statement. So, okay. So what do you imagine is happening in your eyes as the imaginary physiology we've talked about?
What it always feels like to me, because I like photography, is I feel like when you look into a lens and you're trying to get that in focus, you know, with a regular camera, and you keep trying and I keep trying and I just can't quite get there. And it's like out of my control of finding that focus. So I feel like it's a lens that's trying to find focus and it can't, and I just can't find it, and there's not a lens that works.
Yeah, so no lens there. And what I want you to do is see if you can get even a more fanciful or imaginative script, you know, like what's going on, like, you know, if you can get another picture that's even more imaginative.
I don't know.
All right, well, that's fine. I just, you know, I'm always trying to stretch people to see if I can get more information, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like... almost like something's been pulled, you know, something has been obstructing. Something, I keep feeling like I want to get it out of the way so I can see clearly, you know. It just feels like something's been, you know what I mean? It's like there's something there's something over it. It's, I don't know, something that shouldn't be there.
All right, see, that's a good statement there. Okay, let's take a stab at it here. 9 years ago, was there an emotional situation where something was really obstructing you, where you felt really challenged, really struggling, that was overwhelming? Anything started to come out, like maybe not being taken seriously also?
Well, I mean, like the day that happened, like I said, I started to not feeling well, and no matter what I told my husband, and I said, you know, I'm not feeling well, I'm going to pass out, I need some air, I need to get out of here. Yeah, you're fine, and ignored me, and I turned to walk out, and I passed out, and then everything changed from there. It was also the time that I was told we had to move to England, so I had to pack up my private practice, my work, my personal life, everything. And so it was a point where my life as I know it was over, and I was stepping into another life, not of choice.
So did you know you had to go to England before you had that experience?
It's sketchy around that time. That whole time of the year is very sketchy. I had just found out just prior to that time.
Yeah, I think you probably did too, because it seems to fit. So the words "nothing enjoyable" jump out at me.
Okay.
You know, and so what I'm kind of saying, let's keep looking at this and see if there's a resonance between knowing that you have to leave your life and what's happened to you since. Knowing you have to pack up and move when you don't really want to. And that tied together with not being taken seriously. It's very unusual to have the message happening at the time of the condition, but usually the message is happening before the condition shows up.
Right, and that's why I wasn't so sure. I know I had a lot of emotional stuff around that time, but is it really around that time, or is it something else? Do you know what I mean? That just culminated at that point.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let's take a look at this. This is a harder one to go because we're not dealing with quite as much clarity as a lot of the other ones. But when you look at something in your life, it could have been, you know, from early childhood, but it could be, you know, did you have a lot of stuff going on in your life that you had to leave behind to go to England?
Well, I was finally doing in my life everything I wanted. I had just graduated from massage school. I started a private practice. I was teaching. I was doing some other jobs that I enjoyed.
Okay, so you were really on track with your life.
I was.
Okay.
I was.
And then you had to leave everything behind. Okay, so you said the word obstructing. Do you think that having to leave to go to England is obstructing?
Well, definitely in my own life path, yeah.
Well, that's what we're looking at, yeah. And that overwhelming. Well, let's move on to challenged.
Yes.
Struggle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uncertain. Of course, if you're going to a new place and you have to leave everything behind, that's uncertain, right?
It is. And I had no work, and I didn't know if I'd be able to work there. And my husband was going to be working full time.
Yeah, and scared, angry and scared. Frustrated, angry and scared were the first words you used. Did they fit?
Yes.
Okay. And don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. And having to move like that and leave everything behind would keep you from enjoying the moment. And when it came to make the decision to go, had he taken you seriously about your opinion about what to do having this life together?
I didn't have an opinion. I wasn't able to have any say in it.
So, in other words, he wasn't taking you seriously. You didn't even have a say in it.
No, it's just something I'll adjust to and you'll enjoy, and it's a good experience, and it is what it is.
And your judgment about the condition is it shouldn't be there. If we change the word slightly, I shouldn't be there.
Okay. That.
So what I'm seeing is a pretty strong connection here between not having any say in what you're going to be doing, and all of a sudden you're in a place where, you know, it's a it's not your life path, essentially. Can you feel the resonance between these things?
I can.
Yeah.
I didn't correlate it with moving. You know, I didn't correlate that with that because that came after.
Right.
Although I knew about it before, and that was just
Yeah. And so, what did you do with those emotions that you knew about before? And when you knew before you were going to have to move, what did you do with those feelings?
I just got frustrated with them, but I had no say. It was, you know, why bother? I have absolutely no control at this point.
So you buried them and you gave up.
And I just moved on.
Yeah, you buried the feelings and you gave up and just moved on. And then your body responded and said, we can't just let this go. You know, and so you having no say, you having no voice, essentially. You know? And the whole thing about not being taken seriously ties into this, because here you are creating a career for yourself and all these different things. And we're just going to England. That's it. That's all. But where are you being taken seriously, you know?
Yeah, what mattered to me didn't matter to him.
There it is. Now, do you think that would cause frustration and anger and being challenged and struggle and not enjoying the moments and so forth?
Yeah.
And obstructing. I shouldn't be there. Okay?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I did see that.
And here's the key thing, and nobody should be down on themselves for not figuring something out, because this stuff is hard. I really admit it. The definition of blind spots are by definition invisible, and things that we have suppressed and not wanted to experience are by definition buried, because that's where we put them. We buried the things.
And that's why they're so hard to make sense of. And that's why it's about three times easier to work with another person than it is by yourself.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've done this a lot and I've gotten pretty skilled at it. But anybody can get skilled at it if you just practice and work with a bunch of people and work with yourself a lot. You can get really skilled at finding emotional causes. And it's always easier to help another person than
it is. I get caught, and I think that's why when I was doing the process, I get caught, is you can intellectualize what your results would be, but it's not necessarily what your gut, what your heart, what your, you know, your soul is experiencing or saying. And it's like, that's the part that I find challenging, because your mind will say what you think it should say, even though you don't think it's saying that. Do you know what I mean? So, and I missed all, I would have never related this to that, like I said, because of the sequence in time, although the seed was planted prior to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and so the seed was planted, and the good wife said, sure, I'll go, whatever, you know, that's where my husband is, of course I'll go, and it doesn't matter that I've built a whole life for myself, and I have all the stuff going on, and I've got all the passion and career, of course I'll just let it all go, because he's my husband, I'll go with him, because that's just what I do. And so it doesn't give you permission to fully be yourself. And if that's just how you did it, and I can really understand why you don't even bring it up to question it, right?
That makes a lot of sense, and I'm actually still going through that right now. So that actually kind of resonates maybe why I also still hear the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. And so as you process that and you really release it through, you know, I think you will start to see some good shifting to the positive. Even if you just start letting yourself just really rage around the fact that you haven't even been driving your own car. Your life has been driven for you, and you're not even in the driver's seat of your own car in that regard. You might just notice like a fluctuation, like, well, a vision suddenly cleared up. Like, if you just start raging around it, you might notice an immediate improvement, even if it's just temporary,
right?
Because your body mind will say, yeah, yeah, that's it, now work with it. What I noticed with people, when I would have them do their home, you know, when I'd have them, I used, you know, when I first learned this, I would do a discovery process with somebody, and then I'd make an excuse, and I'd say, oh, I'm going to go make some tea, and why don't you just sit and feel these emotions for about 5 or 10 minutes while I make the tea, and I'll be back with some tea. And we'd chat, and I'd ask them, by the way, how are your symptoms? And they'd say, oh, wow, they're 30% better. Like across the board, everybody noticed an immediate 30% improvement just from starting to feel the right emotions. And then I'd point out, hey, if you're able to feel those particular emotions and shift your symptoms 30%, you know you're on target. So that's a really good way for people to really know that they're there.
And the key is really just finding the right emotions, finding the reactions. And that, for me, is the challenging part.
Of course. It is for all of us, especially when you hit those doozies that we just don't want to see, in this case, literally.
Yes.
And
I actually have to write that down because it actually,
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
Something that had came to me on the break, because when I was sitting with this, I was still trying to process this, there was just kind of a sentence that came to my mind, but now it makes sense, was, nothing was ever in focus again. Those are the words, and I was like, what does this mean? But that makes sense, because I've never been able to put together my professional and personal life the way it was prior to that.
Wow. And until you process these emotions, you may not be able to get it together.
Right.
But once you do, you can get it together better than ever.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I don't think I could have done it myself.
Well, you didn't, but now we did it together, which is better.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay. I just want to make a couple comments before I move on to the rest of the people waiting. There's about 5 of you. Actually, there's 8 people waiting right now. You realize that if you don't have the discovery, you're not going to be able to get to the release and then the insight and all the rest of the process. So it all hinges on being able to get through the discovery well. And so, let's see, Edith, we haven't heard from you yet, so it's your turn. You're on.
Good evening, everybody. Well, it's evening in Holland. Good morning for you. I hear a lot of very beautiful stories, but I have a very practical question. I want to know at what age you can start doing this process with children.
I don't know. I think that you and other people who work with children would be the best ages for that, depending on... I know I had a young man who was 17 who took the workshop, and he's not a child, obviously, but boy, he just ran through the material and loved it and uses it on a regular basis and really made a huge difference in his life. It really depends on the child and whether they have an interest in this, a desire, and an inclination. I think it would differ. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, so I'm just going to try and find out.
You let us know.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, very good.
That's fine, I will. Thank you.
Sure, okay. Okay, we have Karina. I have you on now.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Just, I've got a couple of questions. The first one is the remorse. Just so I'm 100% clear, are we feeling remorse for the fact that we didn't express our emotions fully at the time and therefore the feelings have been expressed physically?
Not exactly, no. I think the remorse is that to generalize it as best I can, that we are treating ourselves in the way that others treated us. That I'm doing to me the damage that had been done to me.
Okay, thank you. And the other question is, the 20-minute time that we do the release, is it 20 minutes for a reason? I mean, if you're in the flow, can you just go for it and rather than do 20 minutes, go and have your hour sort of nurturing time and then come back?
Well, if it's a really deep hurt, it just takes a lot of time to go through it. 20 minutes the first time around really works well. But what happens is when people do the in-the-flow thing, a lot of times they'll spend 5 or 8 minutes on it and then they move on. But it's not pulling it out. You see, to spend 20 minutes feeling hurt means you have to force yourself to stay with it when you don't want to, because it's so uncomfortable to try to spend a full, solid 20 minutes grieving. Your mind's going to want to wander. And when you're done with that 20 minutes and you nurture yourself for a full hour, you have done something extremely significant emotionally and energetically with yourself. If you don't nurture yourself, you leave yourself wounded in a way. And by nurturing yourself afterwards, it's kind of like you're soothing that whole wound, and you're so relieved to get that 20 minutes over with. It's like you're not inclined to go back into the hurt anymore. You've taken it and stretched it out so far, it feels much more complete than it ever would otherwise. I mean, you can look from your own experience and talk to any friend, and most people who feel hurt about something have spent years and years feeling hurt about that thing, and sure, there's countless hours and hours they've spent, 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, feeling hurt about it. But if you can solidly dive in really profoundly, wow, then there's a lot there to open up.
So you wouldn't ever go over 20 minutes?
No, I wouldn't go over 20 minutes because that becomes more of an indulgence. And if you do it right, you will be so relieved to stop at 20, because if you keep your mind focused on just the hurt, and your mind will want to wander and you want to just drop it from time to time, and you don't let yourself and you just force yourself to stay in the hurt for a solid 20 minutes, you will be so relieved and ready at the end of the 20 minutes to let it go.
I get it. So more often than not, people don't need to repeat the 20-minute session.
Generally, after the person does the 20 minutes, they may want to do it 5 days or a week later or something. And maybe you can do 15 minutes then. It's just hard to hold a full 20 again. But you'll see really fast progress being made by doing the concise, powerful process.
And you wouldn't ever move on from into the insight till you had exhausted, if you did need to do it again.
You can move on to the insight. You might be ready, but if you need to do the release again, don't go ahead and do the release again, because it works much better to follow them in order. It's so amazing to me how completely obvious the pattern is when you understand it, and how invisible it seems to be to most people in the psychology movement, that these things have to follow each other. You can't jump step. And you can completely understand why they have to be done this way when you see it clearly, as we do now.
So just to clarify, so I'm 100% clear.
Sure.
You talked about the yin and the yang, the anger and the sadness.
Yeah.
So you would do 20 minutes of the yang, of the anger, and if you needed to do 20 minutes of the sadness.
Hold on. The sadness is 20 minutes, because sadness, hurt is a wound, and you need to heal the wound, and you need to give wounds time to heal. The anger, hey, maybe 5 or 10 minutes will do it. If you're fully raging and fully engaged, maybe 4 or 5 minutes can do it. But you just, maybe it's more like 20, maybe 30. It's up to you on the anger. There's no formula on the anger. You do it until you feel like you've really expressed it, and you feel kind of relieved a little bit, like, oh, got that out of my system. You want to do it with the intent of spending the emotion. Now, when I say spending the emotion, I'm using that word quite intentionally. When you spend money, you put the money on the counter, and they take the money, and the money is gone. When you spend the anger, you want to express it with the intention that you're actually spending it. not to become self-righteous, to say, yeah, and they really did do this to me, and really build a case against them. You want to spend it with the intention of releasing it.
Then do the sadness.
Yeah, and the sadness too. You want to send it.
Right, and then follow through all the rest of the steps in order, and if you need to repeat the process, then you start from the beginning again.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to always start from the beginning, because if you know what the discovery is, you can go there, and maybe there's more release to do. Maybe there's often, okay, like I think of one of my friends, a fellow named Kirk. He knew exactly what the major issue was with his allergies, and every week he'd get another allergy symptom, about 20% of what the original one was, and he would sit down, figure out what was different this time about the allergy, find out exactly which set of emotions he had not processed before. He would process them very actively, and sure enough, the symptoms would disappear again, and every week another piece of the puzzle would show up. So he didn't have to rediscover the theme. He knew the theme, but he did need to do the discovery process again, because he needed to know what aspect of the theme was expressing itself. Once he knew that, he could then do the release, the insight, remorse, forgiveness, etc.
Okay, I get it. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Okay, very good. And we'll move on next, and we're back to, hey, Sherry, haven't talked to you in a while. You're on.
Hi. I'm inspired to do this work and go back to my earlier history, my childhood history.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure where to go with it. So I'm wondering what you think about just going back to some general themes I know of rather than a specific time, since I'm just kind of doing it more intuitively.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you got to go where it's hot. You got to go where the fire is. If you've got really strong emotion to work with, then you've got something tangible. But what you're saying sounds a little bit nebulous. Me.
Well, that's my problem.
Yeah,
that's
the problem.
Because it remains nebulous in me, but I'm tired of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not gonna be successful until you can find more specific things. You know, children are often trained, don't get angry and be a good girl, you know, stuff like that. And don't speak out of turn and blah, blah, blah. And what I'm kind of picking up is it's gonna be really important for you to let the fog clear, because I know depression comes and goes. It comes on suddenly, and then it can lift off suddenly, too. And when you are out of the fog, then...
I'm not depressed now.
Okay, very good. All right, so in the state of whatever clarity you do have now, you know, dive in and find out what those resonance factors are. You know, get your good, strong discovery going and work with it. But don't try to work from a nebulous point of view or just kind of a soft point of view. You really want to be focused as intensely as you can with it.
So what if I've sort of done that, but I came up with just a whole bunch of things and things I know and things I've analyzed?
Okay. Well, which have the hottest buttons? Which one is the hottest, you know? Which one has the most energy behind it?
I don't have an incident, but the hottest button I can come up with is my brother.
All right. Well, then focus on the stuff about the brother that really upsets you the most. So look at the history of brother. You know, I had to do stuff like this. I made a list of like every single thing that, actually I was working with my brother, thing that he had done that had upset me so deeply, and then I started categorizing them as themes. What are the themes here? And within each theme, what was the really hot one that happened, the really big one that happened, and then process those.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll start. That's great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. And we have Lori. I have you here, and you're on. Hello, Lori.
Oh, sorry. I pushed the wrong button. Sorry.
It's okay. Did you not want to be on? Yes, that was an affirmative. Okay, and we have, let's see, Connie. Connie, you are on.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I'm wondering if you suggest, for those of us who know the Quantum Touch 2, to use it with this process for processing the anger and the sadness.
No. Not directly, because these techniques for self-created health work much, much better. For developing a new identity as the new person, absolutely. I would, run the energy, use the chakra work we talked about and things. Definitely for creating new identity as the new person after you've done the steps. I think it would be really helpful to do that.
So, like, to make a new choice.
Yeah, to hold the new space, what the, you know, energy and essence of and run energy and do the chakra stuff and really open that up, I think would be fantastic, because it helps you create a whole new identity. identity and open up to the new energies of that new reality. But it really, and these two workshops work so well together for what a new thing I'm working on that I'll announce one day if I get far enough with it. So I'm excited.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Okay, we also have Henry. You have your hand up, so you are on now.
Hi, hey, Richard. What about working with teeth? Issues about teeth?
Yes.
Are you finding that this can be useful because it's more chronic for some people? I'm thinking for some of my clients especially. This is a live issue.
Okay. They are concerned about their own inner peace or world peace?
No, teeth. Teeth isn't what we chew with.
Oh, teeth. I thought you said teeth. Okay. Ah, give teeth a chance, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so what do you want to know about teeth? You can work with, whether you can work with
is
teeth?
Is this something that is more false in the chronic? For many of my clients, they have chronic teeth issues, so.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't hold that things are past the realm of possibility. I just don't have a high sense of probability.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that it's impossible.
Okay.
I just, in fact, if the tooth thing is going on, absolutely process it. It's probably got other issues going on in their life, too, other health concerns. I happen to know of a number of stories. I had a student in one of my classes who was running energy and started growing new teeth again. Bob Rasmussen told the story about helping his daughter regrow another set of teeth. But I also have a belief that, you know, by the time the root is damaged, it's a little late to be doing, but anything is possible. So maybe I'm wrong about that. I mean, I really don't think there's any limits to it. It's just certain things seem more likely than other things. And give teeth a chance.
I didn't know if you'd had any experience working with this on that issue.
Not on that issue. I haven't. But I have seen it work on things that I had previously no experience with, and it continues to work. So I would
experiment.
Say it's worth a try, and let me know what happens, by all means.
Will do.
Okay, great, thanks. And we have Kristen. Oh, I'm sorry, Alicia, rather. You're on. I was reading the wrong one. Yeah, Alicia.
Thanks, Richard. Just three questions from listening to the process. So one is, can in the discovery question process, because it can be so hard to have objectivity when you're doing it for yourself, is there a way to just have somebody else just kind of ask the questions even without having learned the process? Because one of the things that I'm observing and kind of hearing you do is, like at the end when you're kind of connecting it back, you know, you are using a lot of intuition and, you know, you're using their words, but sometimes you start with asking, you know, is it a person or was it a situation? But can it be even more simple than that and just have somebody ask you the questions and see what comes up?
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And I'll admit that I wasn't doing a very good job on some of these ones recently because I was really stretching into my intuitive realms and not just doing it straight like I usually do, where I'm just completely playing by the book because I was feeling like, wow, we've got a couple of real challenging ones. I want to go a little deeper. And I don't like leading people when I do it, but I felt I was doing a little bit of leading, especially on the last one. Well, does that really fit for you? And I think part of it was there was a certain level of resistance, and I was trying to help it along a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, what I normally do is let them come up with all the information themselves. They're finding all the connections. They're making it happen. They're acknowledging all 30 or 40 of the things. Yes, they all fit for me. This one, you know, the last one was more challenging. I was kind of helping it along a bit, but it still fit, and that's the important thing. Yes, I do think you can work with somebody else who's just asking you the questions just so you can hear it from somebody else. But I think a better solution is to make friends with other people from this workshop and work with some of them, and you guys can practice with each other. And it's kind of exciting and fun to see it work again and again, whichever side you're on, whether you're on the questioning side or the answering side. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Either way.
Okay. And then, and I know you've talked about how you've kind of worked it multiple times for yourself. So is it, I also heard you talk yesterday when we were first starting about really staying more with physical symptoms, not really just starting if somebody has kind of an emotional issue that they haven't really identified a physical pain with. So can you just kind of speak more to, you know, like I'm thinking about, like for me now, the next step is obviously to go from where you took me in my discovery and just really work through the rest of the process. And, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, you could do that with any kind of pain.
Of course.
And can you also just kind of talk to, if somebody doesn't have anything physical per se that they want to work on, but they're in some kind of emotional pain, how to possibly work with that, or does that not apply?
I get your question. It's good.
Okay.
Yes, it does apply. There are three primary arenas of our life: health, relationships, and successes or money. Okay? These are the three big arenas of our lives. There will be symptoms in all the arenas of conditions, and we can work with these conditions and the symptoms that they show up. And so you can absolutely say a person has a financial issue going on or a relationship issue. There's emotions. There's things that keeps them from doing this. You know, there's imaginary physiology. What does it feel like? It's happy. It feels like there's an elephant sitting on the business. You know, there's pictures that are going on. You can tap back into emotional stuff. And a lot of people have done it. They've taken this work and they've applied it to other arenas of their life, and they've gotten it to work. It's not always as clear and easy. But the other thing is, if it isn't even specifically another arena, it's just, I'm upset that this person said X, Y, and Z to me, then you don't have to do the discovery process per se, because you know you're upset about the thing now. It's current. It's not like you have to figure out where it came from. This person just told me 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to then release the emotions. If you can, move into the insight. Move into the remorse and the forgiveness. Maybe if you want to take that depth of responsibility that you create your reality, which is really empowering and brings us tremendous depth of love, then go for it. So this person was being abusive, and I released the emotion about the abusiveness, and then how do I do that to myself? Oh, my God, I don't want to think about that. That's horrible. What a terrible thought. But go there anyway. Find the part of me that does that and forgive it. You know, heal it, release it, and forgive it. And on the other side, you watch the whole dynamic of the relationship with that person completely transformed. It's either I have no interest in that person or that person and I are much closer. You know, it can just change magically. It's quite exciting.
Mm, okay. So really seeing that process as the mirror, like when you say talk, you know, you take full responsibility. It's like whoever you bring into your life is really a mirror of something that's also that you're expressing.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
Like being able to really own that and work with that, whatever you're seeing in them as what's in you.
Exactly, exactly. And find that part. And it's very challenging, but it's very rewarding as well.
So that health is the physical side, you know, looking for the physical symptoms, and then relationships, and then success, career, money.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are really the three major areas.
Yeah, they are
okay.
The three arenas of our life. Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Okay, and we've got some questions up here. We have Julia. I've got you on right now.
So, again, hello?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask you, again, I'm trying to release anger, and I found quickly it turns to sadness, and
yes.
I'm not sure whether, because the sadness process is so different.
Yeah.
I also have a feeling there's more anger there.
Yeah, there probably is. So
Take
your pick, anger or sadness, and do one process, and then go back and do the other process. But yes,
okay,
this is a very good observation, because under the sadness is anger, and under the anger is sadness. And anybody who gets too polarized will only feel comfortable going one way.
Yeah. I loved what you said yesterday about the different types of repressed anger, because I've always kind of known that my depression was repressed anger. But when you said anger you're not allowed to feel, that really made sense to me, and I like that. And it's almost as though as soon as I allow myself to feel the anger, it goes away because I don't need it anymore, you know. So that's why I can't stay angry for long in this process.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Okay, and we also have quite a few more hands up. I've been up for a long time. Lynn, I've got you on now.
Hi, Richard. Actually, one of my questions just got answered, I believe. It was, can we use this process if someone isn't showing any physical signs of something going on? Hopefully to evade something from happening in the future and deal with it. I guess my other question is, I'm trying to really grab a hold of the insight and the I did this to me part.
Right.
Is that, like, for example, if somebody was sexually abused, is that something that they're supposed to say, I did that to myself, I allowed that to happen to myself?
Yeah. What a horrible thought. What a horrible thought. And this is where severe criticism can come to this sort of work.
you're blaming the victim and blah, 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 you know, and it's cruel because I've known some women who were sexually abused, and it's a terrible, terrible experience on every level. And I would never suggest to them, oh, well, let's look to see what part of you created it, because that would be cruel. But after you've dealt with the trauma and the pain and the relief, then they've come to me and said, can you help me find the part of me that created it? And then that's empowering. That's incredibly empowering. And both of them have been able to find the part of themselves that shows that reality. But to say, you know, say to somebody, why did you create me being late and forgetting to take you to the airport? That's just using responsibility at the club to beat somebody up. That's not responsible at all. That's just mean. And so we got to be really careful, just in terms of our thinking. I'm not suggesting this about you, but just in our thinking, that we don't want to ever try to take responsibility before the person is ready to look for it. First comes the release. And in our case, we're working with discovery and release. But in the event of some traumatic or very painful experience like that abuse, you first need to just release the emotions. And when a person feels ready and they ask for it, okay, we can now do the process. But it isn't put on them like, your fault this happened, because it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
From a very human perspective, it's not their fault that it happened. From a metaphysical, spiritual perspective, they created it and chose it. But that's cruel to bring it to them too early, because it's their choice whether they want to go there or not. That's the first part of it. The second part is when you do the deeper examination of the different emotions and symptoms in there, then you will see all of the reasons that it's there. But this brings up a really important point. You cannot generalize about people we don't know or are talking about specifically. In other words, this is why I'm not going to ever engage in the debate about do we create our reality or not, because it's too easy for somebody to say, well, are you telling me everybody at Auschwitz chose that? And I know, I'm not saying that because I don't know everybody. If I talk to people one by one individually about their own personal health conditions, you can find resonance. And that's as far as I want to go, because I can deal with an individual, but I can't deal with a group. I could deal with a group of individuals one by one, but I can't deal with a group as an abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Just one other thought on that. Say something happened to someone when they were a very little child and they were abused.
Right.
Is that something that you think might have been brought in by a past life into this life? Is that...
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's highly likely, yes.
Okay. Okay. I think that helps me with the answer.
Good. Yeah. And we have Adhikari again. Hello.
Hi there, Richard.
Hi.
I'm going to ask for what I really want.
All right.
Since I did that whole process and it was wonderful around what came up, but I would like, my legs are still quite cold. I would like you to help me with the discovery process, because I'm not getting a sense really of an incident. And I think there's still stuff around some fear, but I don't know.
Okay, we did that process already, right?
No.
We did.
Never,
okay, I was just trying to. I've got so many notes here. I didn't write people's names down. Listen, I ate a whole bunch of fruit and drank a whole lot of water, so I need to take a 5-minute break for myself. So why don't we, you can all hold on the phone and just, you know, take yourself a 5-minute break, and I'll be back, and we'll continue this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, see you in 5. Okay, so we are back again. So if Adhikari, the mic. Mike, are you on now? Are you there?
Yep, can you hear me?
Okay, very good. I can perfectly. So, you want to do a discovery process?
Yes, please.
All right.
It was big for me to ask. My heart was pounding.
Okay, well, congratulations on going here. So you say your legs are cold. Is that the main symptom?
Yeah, and they're still cold even though I did that whole process. Yep.
Okay, so you've got your notes there somewhere?
I've got different notes.
You've got your notes. So you can use your notes to help you give the answers more fluidly, and I'll ask you the same questions. Like, you already know the answers to the test, so you can just give me the answers. So when did it begin?
I think when I was about 9 or 10.
9 or 10, all right. And what are the symptoms?
It just feels like there's ice in particularly my knees down through my feet. It's just really, really cold. Like if I were going to do it graphically, it's like someone was pressing some ice against me.
Okay. And any other symptoms?
No. Well, there's a connected, like when I've gone to India in January where it's quite cold, there's not much heat, I've gotten sick, you know, with sinus or respiratory problems, infections.
Okay. And what emotions do you feel because it's there?
At this point, I feel annoyed that it's still there. Seems like it's been there a long time.
Anything else?
No, that's the biggest thing. Maybe some frustration that it hasn't changed.
Okay. Any judgments about it?
I haven't felt that so much. But I guess if anything, there's still that annoyance. That's a judgment.
Okay. So what I'm noticing right off the bat is you're giving me very little information. So that makes it harder to find stuff, and that's okay. We'll work with it, but I'm just kind of letting you know that this is where it becomes more challenging when you don't get a lot of information. So let's dig deeper. So when you say it feels like there's like someone's pressing ice against you, or the ice is in your knees, are there any other ways you would describe the sensations or the pain or the ups or the or the sensation of it, because you didn't really...
I don't know. That seems really graphic to me.
I'm just looking for more information, that's all.
Okay. I mean, last year, I felt it got to the point where it hurt. It seems a little better this year. I mean, it was so cold, it felt like it was in pain. I can't say that this year.
It has hurt before. So what to keep you from doing?
I think the main thing is just this thing of being free to go, like I say, India in January where it's really cold. I mean, I don't feel free in that sense, or free to go in a situation where I'm going to be cold. So it creates that fear.
So it creates fear.
Yeah, I'm going to get sick particularly. I think that's the...
Okay. And if you were to use imaginary physiology, what do you imagine is going on?
Well, you could match that. Yeah, I mean, like someone's putting icicles up my leg or...
That's actually even more graphic than what you said before.
Yeah, it's almost like a cutting. I had that came yesterday. It's like a cutting. It's cutting me with ice.
Okay, perfect. Now I think we got something. Yeah, thank you. All right, so since you said age 9 or 10, we're going to deal with childhood stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, not a big stretch there. So childhood is usually mom or dad, but it could be someone else, all right?
Yeah, I did the stuff with dad. You know?
Okay, so... Was dad one who was, you were very annoyed and frustrated and hurt, and mostly frustrated and annoyed with?
No, at the time, I don't think I was. I was more fearful. I think
okay,
the same
well,
with my, okay.
Okay.
So I don't,
so the
but
main
some
images,
anger.
The main images are, it's like someone's pressing ice against me, cutting me with ice. All right, let's just look at those. In some regard, was dad cutting you with ice? And ice could be a metaphor for coldness.
Yes, but I felt that much more from my mom, actually.
Oh, okay.
But,
cutting me with ice, pressing ice against me.
Yeah, because she was very sarcastic.
Okay.
Time is very cold.
All right, I think it sounds like mom.
But there are no feelings that come around it. That's why I wanted some help with this.
That's why, perfect. Okay, we've got it now. Here's the deal. There are no feelings around it. So let's just think about this from a third-person point of view. I'm being a little lit like Mr. Spock for a moment. Here's a child who has a cutting, sarcastic mother who is making these icy comments and cutting you with ice. But today, daughter said, I don't have any feelings about it, but my legs are cold all the time.
I just had an insight. Well, that they've gone numb.
Yeah, they go numb. All right. So the point is you've gone numb. So, you know, here's another little secret. It is really hard for an adult, the older you get, to be able to go back and be angry about what happened when you were 9 or 10. It just gets to be hard. So here's a trick to be able to do it successfully. What you do is you go into meditation and you imagine, like, say you're sitting in a chair when you're meditating, and you imagine that you're falling backwards in the chair. head over heels, backwards, tumbling, going back into time. And then when you stop tumbling, you actually become the 9 or 10-year-old child, because you're not going to try to release the 9 or 10-year-old's emotion from the current time frame. You're going to be releasing the 9 or 10-year-old's emotion from the point of view of the 9 or 10-year-old.
No, I understand that, but you know, but Richard, I've done a lot of work around my mom. I've done intense that inner child stuff. I've felt the anger and the hurt.
Okay.
I can't emphasize that enough. So it's
all
not
right.
That
I
haven't
hear
felt
you. I do hear you. Well,
with my dad, all the stuff came up like yesterday. That stuff I hadn't felt, but with mom, I don't know. I felt that so much in the past.
Then maybe the release is done. Okay. On the mom stuff, have you dealt with the insight and the remorse?
Some. I think that came up indirectly when I was doing it with my dad. Just the because I beat up on myself and been critical of myself
that inner coldness, sarcasm, that beating up on yourself. I think that would be where I'd be aiming at this point. Because if you've done the inner child work, then I'd be focusing on how you have been, you know,
doing that with
that
myself.
To you. Yeah,
okay.
That's where
I was. Okay.
And maybe we'll hit the jackpot and we'll get it changing.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. Good. And I guess you know you can all get to see how challenging this can be. You know, this can be pretty challenging stuff. And do I have all the answers? Of course not. The work stretches. The work takes, and it takes a lot of willingness to go in there. And have I ever hit a wall? Yeah, I think I've run into one or two people that I wasn't able to help them shift. But percentage-wise, it's really darn good that everybody is able to do it. And we tacked on an extra hour today because we had the technical difficulty yesterday, and we're about 20-25 minutes short of where we plan to end today. But at the moment, I've got no hands raised, and so I'd like to ask anybody who still has any questions or things they want to work with to press a button, and we'll do it and take it further. Oh yeah, a whole bunch we just got 5 of them just showed up, so that could probably easily take us through the rest of the day. Let's see, Lori, I've got you on now. Hi.
Hi. My question is more of a technicality kind of question.
Sure.
When we are coaching or helping somebody through this, and you said yesterday, give them the list of their answers to these questions through the discovery process.
Yeah.
Do we give them this whole handout that we got,
no.
Self-create health notes? Do we give them this whole discovery quest 7-step process?
No. What you give them... See, what I do is I have a pad of paper beside me, and when I'm asking them the questions, I'm looking over at my notes, and I ask them the questions, but I write only their answers down on the paper. That's the paper that I give them.
Okay, then how do they know the 7-step process after that, the rest of the process? Do we explain that to them?
Yeah, I explain the steps they need to take to do their own processing.
Okay, and what about the insight when you explain to them that this is happening? Doing this themselves, if they're not ready for that, as you talked about before with the abuse situation, how do you explain that?
Well, individually, appropriately. You know, if they're ready for that step, we find it together. If they can find it by themselves, they do. It's very individual.
So do you wait till after they have the release to then explain the insight step to them to get them to the insight?
It can be, but like that's for an abuse case. But if somebody is not in that case, they can find what the insight is, but they're not ready to process it yet. That's okay. It's all right to understand that I did this to me, but I'm not on that subject at the moment. I'm on to you did it to me. You follow?
Okay.
In other words, if I'm processing what they did to me, you know, I can still know that I'm eventually going to get around to I'm doing this to me, but I'm just not dealing with it yet. So you can help a person understand what the insight is before they get to the point of dealing with it. Just make sure they don't jump steps. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Okay. And next up, we've got... who's up here? Okay, we have Jorge. You're on. Jorge,
hi, Richard.
You're on. Hello.
Yeah, I want just to be sure, when you are working with the 7 steps with another people,
yes.
The discovery, you work with the client, you and the client, right?
Yeah.
But from the release to the self-love, is the client on their own, right?
Well, you know, I mainly created this class so people could help themselves. And for those who want to take it into a therapeutic context, that's wonderful.
And how that's going to be done will depend on who you are and how you want to work with the person. And a lot of that will depend on your own wisdom of how to do it best. So please restate your question again.
Okay. No, I understand. I fully understand. Right.
Good. So,
hey, thank you very much, Richard.
Okay. You're more than welcome. Okay, sure. Okay. We have Keturah. Is that your name? I'm sorry. I didn't get the mic on. Yeah, there you are.
Okay. When I worked on the process last night, when I was releasing the emotions, I had both hurt, sadness, and anger.
Sure.
And I went through the processes, but I didn't have really strong feelings when I did it, like I didn't cry and so forth. It may be because I have worked on some of these things before. Does that mean I wasn't doing the process properly, or is that just the way it may be sometimes?
What happens is we all are conditioned not to have really intense feelings, and this is the way we're brought up. And this process is going to bring up really intense feelings. And if we don't let the feelings get really intense, it's only because we're holding ourselves back.
Okay.
So the process won't work well unless we're willing to be as fully intense about it as we can be.
Okay.
All right.
I tried, but then I went on to the forgiveness, and I made some progress, but I kept having this feeling, this physical feeling in my chest, and I could not get past that. So I thought that I was bogged down in the forgiveness process. Perhaps I should have just gone ahead.
Well, it sounds to me like you may not have done enough release, and then I'm not sure how good your insight was and whether you hit the remorse fully either.
I hit the remorse, yes.
Okay, good, yeah.
And but the thing I realized that I didn't do well, I processed the hurt first and then the anger, and then I sort of forgot about the 1 hour of nurturing, and I didn't really do all that.
Yeah.
But also this morning I realized that where I was having that sensation in the body was in the area of the thymus, and my issue is an immune system one. So that really fit. And it occurred to me that I had this thought last night, well, I'm not really sure if this will work, and maybe I needed that recognition this morning to jar my logical mind.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's a connection where you're feeling it in the body. I don't know. Maybe that seems far-fetched. But.
Well, I think you've got a pretty good handle on it. Just need to keep moving ahead with it.
So I really should try again and try to feel the emotions more intensely, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, go deeper, go fully, take your time with the process, do it well.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay, well. Put that one down. And now we have Mary Beth. I have you on.
Hello there. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
I'm switching over to my handset. Yes, I had a couple of questions. I was wondering if you could go back over the steps in 7, the difference between the self-love and the big self-love. And I also was wondering if you had any experience with using this process with people with bipolar?
Yeah. Okay. First off, those of you who actually took it through all the way and just couldn't stop crying and just felt this immense joy, you realize that self-love, one thing, but when it gets bigger than you can begin to hold, then I just call it capital self, you know, the higher self, the God self, our spiritual connection. And that's just how it feels. It's like you can't even contain that much love. It's beyond you. And that's why I think of it as the larger self. The bipolar, absolutely. What you want to do is have them, when they're in a moderately good position to do processing, find the emotional causes and start going at it. And it can start shifting them a great deal, where they have fewer incidents of being too up and too down. So it can be helpful, very helpful.
Okay. Also, have you used this process at all with people with severe head injuries, like, accident victims or somebody that's, been smashed in the head where they have to learn to read, write, and do everything all over again?
I haven't had that experience yet. No, I haven't tried that yet. But, I'm always interested to know how this works. I think that the quantum touch is going to be really helpful there as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Okay, and we have, next up is Jessica. You're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a question. So I went through the discovery, and my issue is being overweight and wanting to lose weight. And I had all these different emotions that came up for it. It started 4 years ago, gaining the weight, and there's four, I guess, different things that happened around that time. Each of those four things are connected to some of the emotions that I wrote down for number three, but there's mm-hmm. not one thing that is connected to all of them. So I'm not sure if I obviously need to work on all four of those things, but I don't know if
yeah.
there is a fifth thing that I just don't want to see that is, I guess, kind of overarching all of that. Or
Well, there's a couple things that come to my mind. First, process the four as deeply and fully as you can. If that mm-hmm. doesn't start shifting you energetically, emotionally, and physically, then work with somebody or, you know, dive in and see, you know, what another even deeper resonance is. But I think that's going to make a big difference, because if there's four of them that have come up for you, my goodness, that's a lot. And
yeah.
as you process them, you will feel so much lighter, because you're not going to be carrying all that emotional stuff with you. It's a guarantee you'll be feeling lighter, and then your body will probably start responding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. And so, let's see. Next up, we have, this is Kim. So I've got you on now.
Sure, thank you. I believe you pretty much answered everything. It's been covered with the different questions you've been answering for the past several people. I feel I need to spend more time with the discovery process. You spent some time with me. I spent some time with a partner.
Yeah.
But I'm recognizing that it seems like either I need to take notes or have notes given to me, because when I went
yes.
through the process, I felt that whatever was discovered was so vague, I had to go back in
yes.
and recover it. And then I could tell I was bumping into my own blind spot.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I always hand the person the list and they take it home with them.
Yeah, so whatever, it was like the insights were starting to bubble, but then without the list, it was rediscovering, and then that was difficult to do. So,
yeah.
So I appreciate learning from what everybody's been asking. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, good. And then we have Jorge. Hey, hi, you're on. Jorge.
I think I press. I don't have any questions.
Okay, very, very good. All right, so we're about 10 minutes early, but it looks like we've gone through the question today. And I'm very thrilled this group is doing so well and really working with all the material. And so I feel like this is a natural break point for us, and we've moved through it all. And thank you all so much. I wish I could see you all and embrace you. But it's been a wonderful experience so far, and I will connect with you on our next meeting. I think it was scheduled for November 13th, 10 a.m. Pacific time. So process the stuff. And we have a long time to do processing, and then we can get together and wrestle with it a little more. And hopefully everybody's going to have some really wonderful things to share. Okay, well, with that, I'll leave you. And thank you again for this great opportunity. Okay, take good care.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
Thank you.